the Tiltcast, episode 125, Hunger Games, Worker Hunter.
And tonight we're going to be talking about Bioshock Infinite, some Gears of War Judgment, Monster Hunter on the Wii U, and a whole bunch of news including PAX and Horkers.
Ooh, bunch of many things.
Horkers.
And welcome back to yet another episode of the Tiltcast. It's another one of the Hunger Games episodes, and of course, myself, this is Justin. Across from me, I have Trent.
Hey, what's up?
And I have a special guest, Earl.
What's up, everybody?
So, today's going to be interesting because we're going to talk about some Bioshock Infinite. We're going to talk about some Monster Hunter 3, and then a lot about Gears Judgment. And of course, PAX happened, so we're going to be talking a little bit about that.
PAX.
So, without further ado, I'm going to kind of get started here. Earl, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I work with Justin, and I'm married. Where I don't know where I work. But I was looking at this little TV stand you got going on, and it's kind of wobbly looking.
Yeah, it's an old one.
But no, I work with Justin. I'm married. I got a wonderful wife and two kids. And I game when I get the chance.
Right on.
That's what I do.
So, tell me, what kind of uniquely qualifies you for a podcast?
I don't really know what really qualifies me. I mean, I'm not like a hardcore gamer, like 20 hours out of 24 hours gaming like that. But I have games since I was a little tyke. Like when Super Mario came out on Nintendo, I told my mom, I was like, oh, it's all I want for Christmas. Just give me that game. And what did I get? I got Atari Super Mario. I was like, yay. But no, I've been gaming since I was little. Really, I would think we qualify. But, I mean, there's other qualified applicants the last 3 weeks, so it's up to the people, I guess, that listen to see if I'm qualified or not.
Well, that's a good answer. We had a really strong opening, and then something happened.
I messed up, y'all. I'm not going to lie to you. That's my bad. But it's all right, though. We had a fight
going on outside.
Oh, my God. This dude screamed. He was like, ah! It was awesome. You should have been there.
Like
that one time.
We found out your grandma's name was Earlene.
No, my aunt's.
Oh, your aunt.
My aunt's name was Earlene. That's right.
I thought it was your grandma.
No, my grandma's name was Livona.
Vona?
Which we have some strong names in our family.
No kidding.
Livona, Arletta, Luana, Earlene, and then my uncle, Eddie. So I don't know what happened with him, but...
He didn't get a strong name.
No.
Fair enough. Well, Earl, give us a little bit more background about yourself. Okay. What would you say your favorite genres of games are?
Man, I'm going to be honest. Action, and then like... my favorite game that really started off for me was Phantasy Star Online. Not version 2, but Phantasy Star Online. My brother had a system. I grew up poor. I didn't really got to own many games. So my brother was the one that got to play them.
It's on my Facebook.
That's hilarious. Everybody needs to check out Trent's Facebook. Amazing. But he had the Dreamcast and all that. But I'd go there a lot and play, and he'd let me play on it. So the fantasy, the action, the adventure.
So you like Phantasy Star? Name a couple other games you like.
Well, see, I got, of course, Dark Souls, which is at the very top.
Dark Souls!
Oh, you will die! That would be the top one right now. But then I got, like, Skyrim. Again, Phantasy Star Online. We were just talking about it earlier, Parasite Eve. And then a bunch of different, like, there's a lot of indie games. Like I said, I like the Walking Dead one, the one that won the game of the year.
Telltale?
Yeah.
Yeah, Telltale. Yeah. I haven't played the one that you were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Right now is better.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's better. But
stuff like that. And then, like I said, I mean, I play some Halo. Like I said, I mean, like, the kids that, you know, you don't play because they, like, the 12-year-olds are, like, pwn you and all that. Like, my son will come over, my oldest son, and we'll play. And he's like, watch this, and he'll do all this stuff, and he'll make fun of me because I'm not doing good. Then we'll hit, like, the big boss, and I just sit back. He's like, why don't you help me? I'm dying. I'm laughing at him. That's what you get. But things like that. So any kind of that, first-person shooters, I like them all.
You say your top one seemed more RPG-oriented, which I didn't quite get from you.
Well, for the longest time, I did a lot of World of Warcraft, like with what like you played. But I didn't just start there. I played a little bit of EverQuest, and then I didn't like the whole de-leveling aspect. And then we did like Kingdom of Camelot, is what it was called. You could play the Albions and all that. I did that. I never, like I said, I mean, that, and then like Fantasy Star Online, so stuff like that. It's just whatever really sparks my interest, I like a lot. So
that's fair. Oops. I think that's you, sir.
I know, I need to turn this on silent. My phone, guys, sorry.
It is okay.
Twitter.
There you go. So, anyways, tell us a little bit about some games you've been playing recently.
Oh, well, I'm mixing it up between Tomb Raider and then Dark Souls. Like, I got to the part right when they went down to the beach and had to do the salvage because they were like, let's get to the ship. And Laura's like, I needed to go to the cove so I can shoot the dude in the eye with an arrow. She didn't say that. That's what I want to do. I want to shoot brother, whatever his name is, with the arrow in his head because he makes me mad. But anyways, and then you guys are talking about Dark Souls though now. It's like, oh, so I jumped back on Dark Souls. I've been jamming out to that for the last 3 or 4 days.
If he suggests something,
I really do. I ain't going to lie to you. But yeah, that's the. And then Skyrim, because I'll miss it. I'm like, oh, I need to go back and do some Night Mother quests.
I'm getting tired of the word Skyrim. We should just call it Skyrim.
Skyrim.
So I want to play some Skyrim.
I want to play some Skyrim, guys.
That's how we say it in the South.
That's Skyrim. In the Midwest, though.
Yeah. Down in the Midwest, we call it Skyrim.
Skyrim.
We don't put two words together like that.
Like the South. We're kind of like the South Mid.
Yeah, we're
South Midwest.
Central America.
Wait a minute. We're by Costa Rica?
Yeah, we're Central America. Let's go with that.
Central North America.
Well, no, I love it because if you work in, if you work on talking to people who aren't from here, and you mention, and they ask where you're from, you say, Oklahoma. They'll be like, oh, you're out there in Central America. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody thinks Oklahoma is Central America.
They also think we live in teepees, and we ride horses everywhere.
And that we all run around with stakes and plant them in the ground, mm-hmm. plant where we're going to grow our crack houses.
I tell you what, I had to, when I... When
I'll
I,
tell you what.
We had to do the land run when I was in elementary school. We had to do the land run. This is the reenactment of the stuff, and they had... it was horrible. I had no idea what it was about.
No, I had to do it, man. We had to go run out there and, like, plant the stakes down. You had your group.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, you, the wife, and two children. And each of you had a stake. And you had to get out there and reenact the land run. And you had to be like, so how much... You had to lay down enough room to accommodate mm-hmm. for you, your wife, and two kids. Nope. As well as, you know, what you thought would be enough room. And, of course, there... fucking dumbass kids out there with like 4x4 feet. You're just like, you're a moron.
This is my dirt pile. Yeah. I went to Oolagaw. Or if you're not from here, it's Oogalaw.
Yeah.
As they say. But what sucks though is theirs is elementary up through high school. So they did the proverbial, like they had the people that jumped in early. So you have like the older bully kids.
Yeah.
So as a fat kid, fat chubby kid, I'd run, and all of a sudden these kids would jump out of nowhere, and then they push you down and take your stakes and go, this is my land. And I was like, I don't like this. This is stupid. So that was that. So nice. I went way off base. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. I just let you run.
I don't run. I'll be honest with you.
Tumble.
I tumble, yes.
Tumble and roll.
Tumble and tuck.
Tumble and tuck and roll. Amazing.
Fair enough, fair enough. So, Trent, have you been doing anything interesting this week?
This week, playing some Bioshock, of course. Mm. And...
Amazing.
That's about it.
Really?
Yeah, I took Tuesday off from work since it's my birthday week, so I thought I can't take Friday off because that's my birthday and they have a birthday party and I'd rather not take Friday off. Anyways. You
should just show up for it and then, like, peace out.
Yeah, they get pissed about that. Oh, but I took Tuesday off instead and that was a great day. So I was just enjoyed myself and played some Bioshock.
That must be why you're so far. Did you already beat it?
Yeah, I already beat it.
We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. And I already know what to say without giving anything away.
So
don't stop me when I'm saying it, because you'll think, no, trust me, don't worry. Not going to say anything.
Because I haven't finished it either.
Don't worry. Nothing I'm going to say is going to give anything away. It's going to reaffirm to anybody who's playing the game and has some doubts right now that just get to the end.
You should play it.
Just get to the end.
I feel like a loser. I haven't played it yet.
Well, you are.
Well, just
oh, man. Big hell on my head.
Yeah. That means labia. Labia.
So, Earl, you just had a kid.
I did. I had a little boy.
From his labia.
From my labia. You know what's funny, though? They say after you have a kid, you lose your weight. But man, I ain't lost none yet. I don't understand it. Yep, I had a little boy. He was born on March 12th. Little fussy, pooping, screaming. Gotta love him. But yeah, so
number
I have another.
Three, right?
Huh?
Number three?
Number three, yeah. I have a girl. She's 20 months, and she likes being a big sister, I think. I don't know. She gets tired of him and tries to push him off to the side. But, you know. And then I have a 12-year-old son. He lives with his mom from a previous marriage. So, but yeah, he likes to play a lot of games. He'll come over, and he does a lot of stuff like young kids do. They go to different websites and play the free games that make absolutely no sense and have no sense of purpose. But that's what he likes to do. And he'll play Halo, and he likes to play Call of Duty. We'll play, what is it, the split screen where you go up against the computers that have your friends' names.
It was
on Black Ops. But yeah, but what's funny though is if your friend jumps on and sees you on it and they have the game, they can jump in and play against you. But yeah, that's what we play on because people on the internet are trolls, and I don't want him going home saying bad words and getting my ex-wife to call me and go, "How dare you let people cuss?" So that's what we do. So, and then I let him die a lot in games and laugh at him. So.
Sounds fun.
Father of the year, right here.
He's got to learn.
He's got to. Look, yeah. Son, every once in a while, just push him in the dirt. You got to learn. People are mean. People are mean.
It's like you got to learn that when you fall down, there's 9 out of 10 people are going to be laughing at you.
Kick dirt in his face because you're going to do it.
And unfortunately, the one that's going to be laughing the hardest is probably the girl you married.
That's true. So,
the one helping you up is going to be the chick you should have married.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's too late now. No soul left.
No soul. That's amazing. What have you been doing?
I just love the show. What's that? That's all right.
Yeah.
Work has obviously been taking a lot of my time, but beyond work, girlfriend, and more than just girlfriend, I have been doing...
Which picture? I haven't seen your girlfriend. What's she? We got a picture?
We'll do this later.
Okay, good.
We don't talk about that because we don't think she's real.
Oh, my bad. Then he comes home and he's like, "See, she was here. She was here."
Yeah, he has like defensive wounds on his face. He's just like, "See, she was here. I swear to God,
I didn't see any cars leave. She just left 10 minutes ago."
Yeah, I got a bloody nose though. She just comes over, eats his food, and kicks him in the face.
I got a hickey. Look, you see the vacuum in the corner? Is that what really happened?
It's a vacuum cleaner with wax lips on it. So he's like, "See, it looks like lips."
Right there, see?
Yeah. It looks like McJagger.
What was that, like a scary movie whenever you come out? I told you don't bother me when I'm in my room.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just
messing with you. Go ahead. Oh, we're good.
I'm not messing with him.
So anyways, that aside, I've been playing some Monster Hunter. I played some Gears of War, Judgment.
Mm. Is that still sucking a little bit?
Which one?
You know what? I'm just going to dive right in. I'm going to dive into some reviews here.
All right, one or two? Which one are you playing?
Gears of War Judgment.
Oh, that's the new one, right?
That's the new one.
Oh, okay.
We'll finale.
That's the one with
Bioshock. We'll crescendo on Bioshock.
That's the one with the commercial where it's like he earned boss on the 29th attempt and his dog's name is boss, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. I want to make sure I'm on the right page.
So, Gears of War Judgment. It's not bad. I mean, I would put it up above one. It's not three. The problem with Gears of War Judgment is what it does, it takes four characters before everything happens, and you got Baird, and you got Coltrane, which are your two most recognizable guys, but Coltrane is not developed into crazy Coltrane.
Hmm.
He doesn't have the same kind of personality, he's not as boisterous, he's not as fun, he's kind of boring. And the Baird is not as smart-ass as Baird is normally, and it's obviously, somebody was sensitive to the story and said, "Oh, this is them before they developed into the characters they were in 3." But the problem is you want those people that you had in 3 when you're playing the game.
Do you like they not have that sense of humor?
They're kind of wooden. Like
I think it's one of those things where we haven't lived through the apocalypse yet.
I didn't get my sense of humor until I lost everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those kind of joke story.
That's hilarious.
And it's a weird story because you got these three people, or these four people. Two of them, one of them you'll see later in some of the other games. And then one of them I don't think you ever see again. I want to say the chick you don't ever see again. But anyways.
Oh, that's sad.
It kind of goes through these different chapters, and it's narrated by the characters who are going through the chapter. It's like, so we went to the beachhead, and they kind of started off, and this is the things that we did. And then you play those things they did, and then you're going back to this whole tribunal thing that's going on, because these guys are all in trouble. So it keeps flashing back to that, and then it'll go back to the next person, and it's kind of episodic like that. And I don't... Isn't that a horrible story? I mean, again, the writing's not horrible. Like I said, I mean, it's still a Gears game. It's just, if you're... You expect Gears to be a certain caliber. It's developed into a pretty decent franchise. And I kind of wish that it had stopped being a franchise after 3. Like, it just feels a little bit cash-grabby because, of course, you got the whole downloadable skins thing that you can do. You can unlock a few of them.
Well, that's cool.
But you can spend money for skins for your guns, which I think is crap. The multiplayer is not the same. There isn't a horde mode. There's a survival mode where everybody plays different roles, but I haven't gotten a chance to dive into that with anything other than just myself. So I'm not going to say anything about that yet. That being said, though, the thing that kind of hurts this versus some of the other games is, yeah, you got new weapons, but level design's really tight. It's just the story is not as enjoyable. I mean, who liked, aside from Victor, the Victor that's been on the show many times, not a lot of people like Baird. I'm one of those people that didn't like Baird. I like Marcus Phoenix a lot.
Anybody with the name of Phoenix, you should just automatically...
I like Dom a lot. I don't have either of those two characters in this game. You got something called Aftermath that you can play right beforehand, but it's this weird level that's kind of in between games, and it's...
Kind of like when you're in college, and you're like, well, this was really weird. I don't know if I liked it or not.
It plays off kind of like when you're watching a show like The Walking Dead, and they're like, here's a webisode. And then it's almost like going back to that webisode like 6 months after you watch the last episode. You're like, you're going back to a section inside a series that was relevant when you were playing that game before, and it was relevant back when I was playing 3, but damn, it's been a while since I played 3, you know? I mean, when I played the story.
Yeah.
I played 3's Horde mode forever, but I haven't played the story in 3 for God knows how long. So, it's just weird. It kind of feels like a weird hodgepodge. Like I said, it's not a bad game. If you like the Gears fighting style, like all the shooting and all that stuff, and the level design is super tight, there's elements of Horde mode inside the levels. For a Gears game, it's, like I said, it's better than 1, not better than 2, and definitely not better than 3. So, I mean, until I play the multiplayer, I won't know for sure how much I like or dislike it, but right now I'm giving it, like, if you were going to go with a Metacritic rating, I'd probably go in with, like, a 70. If we're going to go with a Tiltcast rating, I'd probably give it about a 3.5.
So what you're telling me is, like my grandma used to say, you could poop on a piece of cardboard and wrap it up all pretty in a present, but it's still just poop on a piece of cardboard.
Kind of like that. It's not that bad. I mean, if you look at some of the other games that have come out, it's a lot better than a lot of other games. You have certain expectations. It's like when you get a game, you kind of raise it to a certain level. It's kind of like with Dragon Age 2.
True.
I love Dragon Age 2, except they reused all the level design, and that's what made 1 a superior game. And it was more finely crafted in that regard. And that's the thing that this felt like it was lacking. It felt like we're going to put out another Gears game. We're going to make some money in 2013. We're going to throw some ideas together and make it work. But at the end of the day, it's not the same Gears that you went through with 1, 2, and 3. And that's my honest to God kind of opinion about it so far.
It's like Nicolas Cage going broke and doing all these movies to make movies. Well, I did all these movies, but they all weren't that great.
Drive Angry is surprisingly bad in a good or good in a bad way.
I'm gonna tell you something. My wife rented Bad Lieutenant from Redbox, and we were like, "It's Nicolas Cage," and it's Bad Lieutenant.
Bad Lieutenant, the original one.
No, Nicolas Cage is Bad Lieutenant.
I know that one, but it's kind of
it is creepy because you see him and he's this nice cop, and he's all like, "Oh, the jail flood." He's like, "I gotta save these people," and he dives in the water, messes up his back, and all of a sudden, like next thing you know, he's like screwing this hooker outside his police car because he caught her with drugs. I'm like, how does this coincide with this? We turned it off and left. I was like, this movie makes no sense. Yeah, don't get that. Nicolas Cage movie, it sucks.
Well, there's a slew of other movies he's done recently that are just like, man. He's really gone off the deep end.
He just must be
in like cocaine debt or something.
I just understand why he doesn't just go apologize to his rich family and say, look, I'll take the last name back. Just give me some money.
Does he have a rich family?
Well, he got his last name from a comic book. He's a Ford Coppola.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was like, I want to make it on my own. And he liked the comic book, I think it was the African-American comic book guy, something Cage, I can't remember. I love comic books, but I don't know what comic book
That's a Chuck question.
Yeah, it's a Chuck question. But yeah, he liked that, so he gave his last name Cage because he didn't want people to... I like Anderson Cooper, because Anderson Cooper is a what is that really rich family in New York? One of the rich ones.
The Rockefeller?
Rockefeller, yeah. He's like a Rockefeller, but he didn't want to be, like, get his career because of that. So Nicolas Cage was a Ford Coppola. He was like, I don't want people just to give me my breaks because I'm a Ford Coppola, so I'm going to give myself last name Cage.
But he's been doing movies since the 70s.
I know, but then he got broke and did this big slew of horrible movies. I'd apologize.
He used to pick really good films. Like, you look at Raising Arizona. Mm-hmm. Fantastic film. One of the best. And he was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High as a supporting character. As one
what
of those
was that
school.
Crazy movie he was in where he dual starred in? He was like him and his
Adaptation.
I love
which
that movie.
Which is another great movie, and that was before the onslaught of
Crap
Next
movies.
And Knowing and American
Face
Treasure.
Off, I love Face,
Face
Off.
Face Off. That was actually
it
Face
was
Off
good.
Was before Adaptation.
It was good, though.
Face Off was like a late 90s movie, and it was good. It was actually
You're still
good.
Talking like 15 years ago.
The
though.
Rock.
Yeah.
The Rock was a good movie.
That's a great movie, yeah. Con Air.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. Everybody.
Hell yeah.
I love, who was it? I can't remember who it was. It was some skit that they used to do. It was that Con Air is a movie for everybody. It has something for everyone in it. And that is very fucking true, you know. I think it was actually Eddie Izzard is the one who pointed that out.
Eddie
Izzard's
amazing,
it's a movie
by the way.
For everybody. You know?
I just want to throw that out. His little Dark Star,
Death
Star, skit, where
it's like
the Lunchroom.
Like,
the Lunchroom, that was a great skit.
I still like, you know, the Rebels are here. It's like, what do you think they want? I don't know, but they brought a flag. It's like, rather.
That's hilarious. I love Eddie. I love Mr. Izzard. He's amazing.
He's a very funny guy.
He was great in Mystery Men. I'm going to throw that out there.
Yes, yeah.
I'm the one that killed Joe Dante.
Yeah, as Teddy P, the the bowler god.
Disco's not dead.
Hairspray god, yeah. Yeah. I love that. And also, Velvet Goldmine played the
I don't think I've seen that one.
That's a good one. It's pretty good. He plays the high-rolling band manager who comes in to steal Brian Slade, a.k.a. David Bowie's persona in the movie.
David Bowie's amazing, too.
Yeah.
Brave Americans. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It was Ziggy Stardust.
Ziggy Stardust was,
Them two I like.
Well, he's got the new album that just came out.
Is it good?
Actually, I listen to it at work about once a day now just to get used to it. And it's very retro. It's like he's finally gone back to that 70s almost.
What
Aladdin
made him
insane.
Awesome?
Well, what was funny is on my Spotify, the new album is the next day is followed by Ziggy Stardust, which I know that album really well, but I can't even tell when it crosses over into.
Oh, that's amazing.
Sometimes it's just like, holy shit, you know, it reminds me so much of that old era of, you know, Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane. So
look at you using a work pen. That's amazing. Oh, by the way, that's amazing.
So anyways,
good times.
Back to video games.
I love video games.
But yeah, the new, but we're going to talk about music.
Man, why can't you just let us talk about stuff we like? Man.
Anyway, back to video games.
Rules and regulations over here.
Well, I got to moderate them sometimes.
I know you do. You're doing a good job, by the way. You should tell people the awesome stuff that you got. The drink. Drink.
Okay, so
it's
Earl.
It's true.
Earl told us that we needed to try cooking.
It's true, I did. I brought a bunch of jars of it.
So he gave us these cans, these little red cans that say cocaine. And it's an energy drink, but what it says is there's a warning on it that says the message is for the people who are too stupid to recognize the obvious. The product does not contain the drug cocaine. This product is not intended to be an alternative to an illicit street drug. Anyone who thinks otherwise, an idiot.
Yeah, but what's funny is I read the ingredients and that thing is pumped full of fucking blood thinners.
Listen, you will not get a clog with this stuff. I'm just saying.
I was looking at it, I was like, why would they pump an energy full? So it goes through the body faster. And I was like, that's kind of dangerous
times.
Because
good time
pumping that thing full of fucking Cyanco is kind of not a very good idea. But yeah.
So I want to try that here in a minute after I'm done talking.
I'm saving mine for tomorrow night before I go out for my birthday party. I'm going to chug that thing and then go drink a fuck ton of Guinness. And I will be belligerent drunk but energetic about it. So,
I'm drunk!
Yeah.
Sure by the way, you should don't drink, kids.
And
drunk. Unless you're 21, then that's okay.
Yeah. No, I'll be fine because if I get too trashed, I'll do what I did the other year, which is I'll just have somebody drive me to IHOP. And I'll eat some food and everything. By then, I'll be good, and I'll be able to drive the mile home.
It's good to have a backup plan.
Yes.
Well, I can drive you if anything else. It's not like a
unless you get.
Yeah, I can go and grab my car in the morning. It's not like it's far away.
Right.
So,
anyways, one of the other games that I wanted to talk about that isn't really being talked about that much, except for maybe one other podcast that I listen to, and that's Monster Hunter 3.
I want to go on the record and say I thought he was talking about Monster Hunter the whole time, because I love that game.
Well, yeah, me and you talk at work.
That's true.
Because we both have jobs where we can wander a little bit.
I'm the king of wandering at work.
But so Monster Hunter 3, it's a remake of Monster Hunter Tri for the Wii U, or for the Wii. So moved it up, kind of HDified it. It's not the very best looking game that I've seen, but compared to what it was, it looks pretty damn good. It's very highly stylized, and I like that. And of course, all every Monster Hunter has been. Sound effects, the way the weapons look, everything is true to any Monster Hunter game. Now that you have Nintendo Online, it's a little bit easier to find your friends. Though I don't have any friends, so my Nintendo ID is the same as any other thing that I have. It's always nostalgia. Unless it's PlayStation 3, then it's iNostalgia. But other than that, Monster Hunter 3 is got some really cool features. It's got a feature where you can take a 3DS, play the same version of the game, or the 3DS version, and actually go on and do like group co-op locally.
Co-op. That's when we whack together, but you know,
when we go together. To scare them. We do the co-op.
It's co-whack.
So
it's like coaxial.
So you can co-op with other people on 3DS. So like, let's say one of our buddies comes over and they had Monster Hunter.
Honestly, do you really have friends? Tell me the truth.
I don't have
friends. No, I'm just playing up there.
So, but yeah, if you had a buddy that had it on 3DS, they could come over and actually play it with you on their screen. You could play it with your on your screen. And you guys could do monster battles together, which I think is a pretty cool idea. I will say that it's pretty grindy. I would liken this to something very much like Dark Souls.
Ooh.
And the reason that I say that is because there's that whole grindiness, so you know that you can't beat this challenge.
Unless you get to a certain level.
Right. The problem with grinding in this game is you beat monsters in that area that was pretty easy to grind in. Now those monsters roam that land.
Mm-hmm.
And so what used to be kind of an easy thing, I'm going to go and mine for some ore, get some things for my food and my potions, and then, you know, maybe get some basic utility items so that I can craft a new piece of gear, turns into, well, I'm doing that and I'm fighting a little bit of an epic boss battle while I grind. And it might be a similar boss battle to something I've already done before, but it gets pretty intense. But, yeah, I've gotten all sorts of things. Right now I'm rocking a katana. The katana's pretty fucking
cool. There's nothing wrong with rocking a katana.
I've also been rocking the sword and shield quite a bit.
Sword and board.
Block mechanic works pretty good. It takes a while to get used to the rhythm of how to use that game, because like the big swords are really clunky and take a while to get used to. But just like in Dark Souls, there are set rules on how the mechanics of each of these type of weapons operate.
Yeah.
So like, you know, with Dark Souls, you use a sword and shield, you kind of get used to that ebb and flow of how to block and then riposte and everything else. Same thing goes for Monster Hunter. You kind of get used to the big sword. You know that you can do a big overhead strike, you can turn around and swing, and then follow it up with another overhead strike, and then move forward.
Okay.
And that big sweeping strike, though, like, strikes everything in 180 degrees in front of you. So if you got little dinosaurs or whatever coming up on your side, you can hit them with that, and it'll knock them back.
You could knock them back, but does it have the same element where, like, if you block it, I know in Dark Souls it was poise. If you don't have enough poise, you get knocked back. Does it do the same kind of thing? If you knock them back, they can knock you back? Or is it just you knock them back?
Oh, they can totally knock you back. Okay. It's based on your stamina. So like,
okay, so it's stamina in that one.
And okay. Very much like Dark Souls without the poise. Yeah. So like, if a big dragon like just hits me with its tail or whatever, and it's a really big hit, and hits my shield, and my guy's got light armor, it'll eat through all of that stamina, depending on how it is, and then knock me back and do some damage. It'll be reduced damage to still block, but it'll still knock me back.
Okay.
But there's a lot of rolling and things like that to get out of the way. A lot of it is dodging the monster's attack and then getting in to get some good planned strikes. But a lot of that game is preparing for the big epic battle. There's a lot of slow moments in the game. And there's a lot of going back and forth and harvesting your items and getting geared up.
Yeah.
Doing the little bitty missions until you fight something bigger. And sometimes the thing bigger is like, well, I don't want you to trap this instead of just take it down. And that ends up being the more difficult missions. But there's no health bars for the monsters. Like, you never really... You don't know in that traditional gaming sense how far you've knocked this monster down. What you do notice, though, is the monster starts drooling and kind of starts moving more sluggishly. You'll notice them start to like hunker down a little bit. So like if it walks on two legs, it might start hunkering down a lot lower and moving a lot more sluggishly or falling down while it's moving. You might start seeing scales and things like that being knocked off as you're tearing through them. And you'll know when the thing that's always kind of got me is like once they start panting, you know that you've kind of gotten them down like a third of the way. And then you know that when you knock off, you hit them hard enough in the face, you'll get a dragon's tear or a wyvern tear, and that means that you've...
Oh, you made the wyvern cry.
Well, it's an item you can use to craft things, but if you do that, you know that they're already kind of gotten kind of far down, so you know that you're wearing them down. But the cooler thing is, like, on some of the bigger ones, like, there's a big water dragon that I was fighting, and I cut him real hard across the chest, and then he was at a certain level. So it knocked all the scale, like a big chunk of the scales off his chest, and then I turned around and hit him in the tail, and then chopped his tail off, and then I was able to harvest stuff from the tail while he was still chasing me around.
He didn't get my tail back.
Which made him a lot more awkward in how he moved.
Did you have to whack it off like you said?
I'm always whacking off dragons.
You whack him off.
Hold him down.
But
very, very rapey that game was.
But it gets pretty intense. I mean, a lot of the monsters do some crazy things. There's a lot more aquatic monsters than some of the other games.
That's cool though.
So,
it's
but they
have water monsters.
The water fighting really isn't that bad. Like you can go without breathing underwater for probably about a good solid 5 minutes, and then there's air bubbles coming up from the ground, so you just swim
just
over
like
that.
Real life, I tell you.
Yeah, but like there's a. And you're going to laugh because that sounds like somebody's name at work and it cracks me up every time I say it. It's a couple of Lucretius. We know we got a friend at work named Lucretia. And so this dragon will like shoot out of the water and does these like dive bomb attacks, and he just like hits you with his mouth, and he's not real mobile on the
his
ground.
His what?
His mouth.
Oh, they just said his mouth. I was like, what?
That's crazy.
But
so it's
instead
like
of
a pelican, basically.
So, like, he can hit you with his tail. He doesn't move real fast except for like a dash, but he can't move side to side. So instead of moving side to side, he'll see you on his side and just start rolling like an alligator. And so he'll do a death roll onto you. Well, I guess a death roll is underwater.
So he's a lazy monster, I'm hearing.
Well, he's aggressive, but yeah. Yeah, he starts rolling and things get pretty crazy. But it's interesting.
Party.
It's a... That game's grindy, but I like it. I like it a lot. So far, I've put 30 hours into it.
That's cool.
And I'm nowhere near the end. I just found out there's a whole other area.
It's
I feel like I'm halfway through.
It's like, but wait, there's more.
And this is all the stuff I think they added when they did the Wii U version.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the main game, plus there's like another half to the game. So, which didn't feel as bad. Like, Capcom's really notorious for like re-releasing games like over and over and over again. Like, how many Street Fighters have been coming out?
Yeah.
Like there's like two versions of the latest
Street Fighter Omega,
and there's like two versions of the latest Street Fighter or Capcom versus Marvel, and that kind of pissed me off because I was like, I was already buying DLC, and now there's another game.
That's hilarious.
It's the tournament version. Oh, this is the real version.
Yeah.
But that being said, if you are into kind of that grindy kind of game, you can play it solo. I really didn't start having a lot of fun with it until it's about 4 hours in, and the reason for that is you get a there's these little cat creatures. These little cat creatures are like there's this weird Japanese cuteness to the game.
That's
sometimes.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Very anime. These little cat creatures like help you. Like when you die, they pick you up, put you in a little like wheelbarrow basically and like take you back to base camp.
I was so hoping you would have said like a Tenzer's
so you,
disc.
So you get catnapped.
Sorry.
Catnapped.
Yeah,
I had to. I'm sorry.
So you get a little cat creature that follows you around and like debuffs monsters and will,
because like all cats
like,
do, they debuff people.
Yeah, and he has different masks, so he has these like different tribal masks, and these different tribal masks are what gives him different abilities. And so he'll do a dance, and then he'll get a buff, or the monster will get a debuff.
What was that game? The dude with the tiki mask, and he was always dancing. What was that game?
Was that Zelda?
No, it was a fighting game.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe it was Samurai
Showdown.
I think that's what it was.
Sorry.
You're thinking about the guy with the kabuki mask.
Yes.
I can't remember his name.
But like the little judge dude had the little tiki mask thing, and when he would lose, he'd do a crazy, weird dance. But anyways.
But yeah, it's...
How is that cocaine? Did you just try
it? I'm about to pop
now, warning, It's like a Red Hot. So if you just sip it, it will burn the back of your throat.
So you have to chug it.
Unless you're a wuss. They do a mild, which is blue. And I'm like, why would you do mild? That's like, oh, I can't handle the hot.
I'm probably going to have a heart attack tomorrow.
You're like drinking your heart.
Because I'm real cautious of the caffeine I put in my body, and that will probably be what messed me
up. I bought a Red Bull 4-pack for the blueberry for the new blue edition. Yeah. And I took it home, and I was like, don't judge me, wife. And she's like, what is it? I won't judge you. And then I showed her, and she hates energy drinks. She's like, I can't believe you bought that. Oh, you know how I feel. I'm like, why did you? I told you not to look.
So that's one thing. It's like it's one of those things where you bring it in, you're like, it's not a political statement. Mm-hmm. Why does it bother you so much? It's just not healthy.
I used to be like, this man here, I would drink energy drinks like crazy. And when I met my wife, she was all like, you should really stop doing that. It's not good for you. So I listened to her, and yeah, I felt good. And then I get one in like a year and a half, and she's all like, oh, you bad. I'm like, I haven't drank one in a year and a half. Well, once she didn't know about in a year and a half. Because at work, they pump them out like crazy.
Here comes the moment of truth.
He took a sip. He said it wasn't too bad.
Go for it.
Just chug it. You'll love it.
Chug it.
Chug, chug, chug.
I'm not that thirsty.
I don't care. Just do it. Just do it.
I'm like a...
I want to watch you slowly die. Oh. On the couch. Just chug it.
You hear his heart. Yeah.
So
it's kind of got like a cinnamon aftertaste.
Like, is that somebody knocking? Like, no, that's just his heart.
All the Simpsons, when he thought his car was on, he's like, that's your ticker. He's like, oh, okay. And he just drives off to work.
I can feel it in my nose.
I tell you, it's good times. It's good stuff.
Jeez.
So back to this game. How would you? So you said you've only been halfway through it.
Yeah, I have to play some more. I want to play some multiplayer if I can find some Japanese guy to play with me.
But, I didn't know that about you. Yeah. He's like, I need a Japanese guy.
You want a Japanese guy to play with you? I mean.
Well, Monster Hunter is freaking huge in Japan.
Try Craigslist.
I know. You could. That's true. The missed connection section.
Yeah. I love the miss. I read those at work sometimes out of boredom. There's some fucking hilarious.
That's hilarity.
It's like the chick at the Burger King. Your ass be popping. I was wearing a white shirt. I'm just like, this has to be fake. There's this really funny one I read about this guy going like, this guy was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He didn't want her to see it. It was kind of a confession. Is confessing about the girl who sits next to him at work and the cubicles, and he thought nobody was there, you know, and he just ripped a fart. and then when he got up to walk away, he noticed she was there, and she had this really disgusted look on her face. It's like, I used to always think you were kind of cute, but now I'll never know what could have been.
It's like the commercial. I watched the commercial on YouTube, and the girl gets in the car because the guy goes up to the door, and she gets in the car really quick. She's like,
yeah,
really big, and the guy comes in, and she's like, whooshing out the window, and the guy gets in the car. He's like, are you ready to go? She's like, yeah. He's like, by the way, this is my kid. She's like, ooh. And the kid's got this big old smile on his face, holding his nose. It's hilarious.
Who hasn't, like, when their girlfriend's gotten out of the car, ripped a fart, thinking she would be a while. Yeah. And you see her come back, and you roll out of the window. You light a cigarette, and you're, like, puffing around. They come back, and the whole car's just smoked out.
Hilarious.
You're just like, hey, what's going on?
I was just pretending I'm being nice, and I go and open their door on their side, shut that door, go around the back of the car, and just rip.
Yeah, but that's your fart back. Time, yeah. If they watch you, they see you walk by and pop up halfway around the car. You go,
so, like funny story, guy in my department at work, Marcus, he always told this story because
this doesn't surprise me.
He gets really, really gassy because he works out a lot.
Yeah.
So he does protein shakes, milks with the milk, and it messes him up. But he was telling the story about his mother-in-law came over one time, and he let one rip so bad that... they gagged and then he got kicked out. He had to sit on the balcony the whole day because it was so rancid. He's like, my wife and mother-in-law just kicked me out and I had to sit outside all day. So yeah, they had like the screen door. They had it open where it was like the little mesh where he could see. But yeah, wouldn't let him back inside for anything whatsoever. It was hilarious.
That's awesome.
But he let him go and it's horrible. He like lets him go. Oh, day long, and Lori's like, she punches them and everything. And don't mess with Lori, though. She's
a firecracker.
1-0 when she retired from kickboxing. It was hilarious.
Nice.
Right on. Well,
how do you rate the game? That's the question.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rate it yet. I like it a lot, though.
So you're pulling the killer instinct. Sorry, survival instinct thing I pull, where I'm not going to raid until I finish.
Well, I think it's a superior game to survival instinct.
No, but that's the same tactic I pulled, is I'm not going to judge until I'm done. Nice. So,
are you done with it?
Yeah, I already finished it.
What is it now?
That's about 3 out of 5, which is kind of a standard. It's not a bad game.
That's a 60.
Yeah, it's not a bad game. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I'll give them that. If you're into the... I mean, it was a decent length game, about 8-9 hours, but, you know, we'll talk about that here in a few. So,
what do you mean to talk? We can talk about it right now.
Oh, well, I didn't know if you were done.
Well, the only thing else I got was really Bioshock.
So. Oh, we'll jump into that. Anyway, so Killer... sorry, Survival. I keep wanting to call it Killer Instinct. God.
That's because that's a good game. Well, I thought it was way back when.
What?
It's Raising the
Sand. So my question is, have you guys played the multiplayer on Tomb Raider yet?
No.
Okay, so I have, and I'm like level 2. I'm still on 3. I'm 3. It's kind of fun. You've got 4 modes. You have Team Deathmatch, Cry for Help, and like a couple other ones, but it's all like third person, and you start off with like basic weapons, and you can either be the survivors, or you can be the crazy people that live on the island.
Yeah, you playing on PS3 or
Xbox? No, Xbox 360.
Okay.
But, yeah, and it's like you level up, and when you level up, you get to unlock the stuff for the weapons, like you get better bullets and you get better damage and stuff like that. And it's interesting because you get in there and there's people that are like level 65 already, so they got like Lara Croft unlocked and all this other stuff. They got the really good bows and stuff. But yeah, it's like it has the whole third person going on. So like if you go to shoot, if you hit the wrong button, he'll like, your person will like shift to the other side with the gun and go to shoot. And it's just nuts. But yeah, it's kind of fun. I mean, I know you guys have been saying that you won't know until you play it. I mean, it's not like a Call of Duty team deathmatch or anything like that, but it goes in rounds. So like on Call of Duty, if you do the team deathmatch, it's first person to a certain point, and that's the entire game.
Yes.
But it does rounds. So like you have to get to a certain point, and then your team wins round one, and it's the best out of 3. It's not too bad. It's
so it's fun. Actually, so it can actually be kind of long games. If it's,
yeah, it can be.
If it's, yeah, lower level people.
Yeah, I played and played like 5 times, and the first one I played lasted for 10 minutes, but then the second one that we did, the other team kind of dropped out, so they didn't have as many, and they were just like slaughtering them. So it
what's the wait times like?
Not that much you can do. It has 2 modes. It has casual, ranked or not ranked, and it tells you if you're just looking for a casual game, that's what the not ranked is. But it's kind of fun, and when you spawn, if you switch, like, you know, you can switch cameras and look at your other teammates. If you switch to one that has more health, has like more health than you would when you respawn, you can spawn on that guy. Mm-hmm. If not, you spawn back at the base.
No, that's kind of nice. So it's kind of a tag along if that person has more health. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's kind of interesting and handy.
And it's kind of fun. And like I said, I mean, you don't get like on the Call of Duties, you don't get like 3 or 2 grenades. You get 1, but then they have little boxes that you can do the salvage, and you'll pick up other kind of bullets and stuff.
So that's kind of an interesting spin on deathmatch with the whole.
But I mean, like as far as like how many people were playing it, like where did you have to wait at all to get into a match? Or
no, I even went. I went ranked one time, and it put me in. It put me in a game within 30 seconds, and even for casual.
Are you playing at your normal Earl times, like in the middle of the morning, or
no? This one actually played at 7 at night the other night. So that's a prime time. And then if I play in the morning, I just play the storyline. I don't play like I did back when I worked nights. And
what do you think of the storyline so far?
I enjoy the storyline. I
like it. Where are you at right now?
Like I said,
don't give away too much.
No. Like I said, with the Tomb Raider.
You're a shipwreck.
Yeah, the shipwreck. And I thought it was cool because because you were talking about the other night how you were wondering if it was going to progress where she got like the double pistols.
Yeah.
And then that one thing happened and it showed the 2 guns. I was like, but yeah,
you think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you think it's going to happen.
You've already beaten, haven't you? Yeah, so we know about that.
Well, I don't want to give nobody spoilers, but you think it's going to happen, but then she's like, here, take this. And I'm like, oh.
I'll tell you this. By the end of the game, you know whether whether there's going to be or not going to be double pistols.
That's true.
So I'll give you that much.
Well,
also know that there's going to be more games.
Yeah, there is probably going to be more games, yeah.
And it's going to be fun.
And I hope Crystal Dynamics sticks with doing it.
They
did a really good job.
They're doing it.
They did.
That is the best Tomb Raider game I've played.
I enjoyed it. But yeah, so like I said, I just wanted to throw that in there because I know you guys have been talking about how you haven't played it yet. Like I said, I mean, it's not the regular kind. If you're a Call of Duty fan and you go in and play the Team Deathmatch, I mean, it's not going to be what you expect. Yeah. But like I said, I mean, they only have 4 little modes and they still have like the downloadable content yet to come. So they don't have all that out
there. Well, I remember them saying something about releasing more game modes for multiplayer, so they're supposed to have more that are going to come out.
And I was looking at the downloadable content when you played multiplayer, and there was one, like, you can unlock the weapon set from... I don't remember what game it was, but it was kind of like if it was like Gears of War or Fallout. I think one was Fallout. I don't know if it was New Vegas or not, but you had to spend Microsoft points to get it, but then you got weapons from that game. But I was like, I ain't going to spend money on that.
That's it's probably a mixture of different, like, since it's Square distributed, it's probably something to do with some of the Square games.
Like Deus Ex or something like that.
Yeah, because that's Eidos Montreal, so it's probably... They might even have like Final Fantasy swords.
But it's interesting though. But the downloadable, I didn't do the Cry for Help. I just did Team Deathmatch, see what it was like. But it's fun. I mean, the best I did was six kills, six deaths in one game. And I was I'm 100%. I'm 50 for 50.
That's about even. For starting. So.
But when I play, I don't really care what my death ratio is, as long as I have a fun time with it.
The only time I care about my death ratio is when I'm doing Team Invasion on Halo. Ooh. That's the only time, and I walked out of there one time with 96 kills and 2 deaths.
Nice.
Because I got in the fucking tank. I got in the fucking, I got in the tank, I got in the ghost, and I got in the Wraith. Nice. And just leveled. I was just like, noobs, fucking shooting fucking green plasma.
That's amazing.
I just kept screaming at them. I go, noobs. It was me and my ex Jessie who split together, and, nice. And the whole, she was on the other team, and it just sucked.
She's like, stop it.
They all got in that warehouse on Boneyard with the windows. Yeah. And I flew that fucking plane right into the goddamn window, and I got into the room. But I was stuck there at first, and I just started laying green blob fire
down.
That's
hilarious.
And I finally broke free and got in the room, and I just like, you know, I landed up on the walkway at the top, just stuck there, but I had a good angle where I could just shoot everything. And I just stood there until I finally got sticky grenaded, but I jumped out fast enough. But, and then I just waited for it to respawn and came back. So, it was a horrible fucking game.
Well, that's what I want to say about Tomb Raider is I played the multiplayer. It was all right.
It was decent.
It was decent, yeah. Like I said, I mean, it's not... If you were looking at the thing, it's not enough right now to push it to a 5. Mm. Like I said, from what I've played, and like I said, I only made it to the shipwreck. But from everything, I mean, I would give it a 4.5.
Well, the game itself right now already had, like, for us, I think that's actually one of our top games far this year. I mean,
I would agree with
loved
that.
It. I thought it was fantastic. It was really good. Yeah, it's like, I thought it was fantastic. And
there's going to have to be 10 more games to come out better than that for it to not be on the list.
Yeah, exactly, because who knows, that could happen this year. But now, I mean, we'll probably hop on there at some point, because right now, where was that game sitting with us, like 4.5?
Between each of us, we kind of agreed on a 4.5.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where the multiplayer is solid and addictive and fun, and there's no issues I've run into that game, period. No crashing, no nothing. I know there were some issues for some people, but...
I just had some weird tessellation issues, and I got back on after the last patch, and I haven't had any problems.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So they stayed up to date on it. And that's one of the big things for people who wonder. Something that we do keep in mind is, like say New Vegas, for instance, was a fantastic game, but it was so janky when it came out, you know, we were really looking forward to it, but it pissed a lot of people off, you know. Yeah, and that's something that we do keep in mind is, if something's broken, how long does it take for them to get it fixed?
Here's what I don't get. Like you were talking last week about 1 hour into the game when you were talking about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And people were bashing it. Here's what I don't get. PlayStation 3 came out, and people bought it, and they knew, oh, well, it's new, so there's going to be some issues, and they're cool with it. But you buy a game, and it does it, and it's brand new, like, day one, and they're like, oh, this is crap, it's freezer number, blah, blah, blah.
My counterpoint to that, playing devil's advocate for that, is remember growing up and playing N64 games, and anything that didn't, like, all the way up through most of all of PlayStation 2, like, there was no chance for a patch.
Yeah.
If it was broken, it was just broken.
The games were usually 100%.
More finalized when they came out.
Yeah, exactly. And any glitches you ran into were usually exploits you could use in your favor. True. Yeah. But nowadays, it's one of those things where these
you just set a release date, and they're like, well, we'll just patch it as it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
But you got to understand that. I mean, this is like, because technology is moving so fast that, even with smartphones, there could be a chance that it's going to glitch. And what do most people do? Well, I'm going to wait a couple months and let it all work out. But when it comes to games, people are all like, I want it now. Oh, it's glitching.
Nowadays, when it comes to tech stuff, I usually wait to see because, there's not, I mean, the odds of if I go out and buy a brand new phone when it comes out and it's glitched to shit, there's a 50-50 chance that's going to be something they can fix with a update. It could be something to do with hardware, which might have to take my phone in. They have to swap out my ESN whatever crap. I have to go through all that trouble just to get a phone that fucking works. The shit worked right off the shelf. As for games, I take that chance because I know they can patch it.
Yeah,
I know most likely they will patch it within a few days. Usually they have a game way.
I'm okay with it as long as they patch it within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and usually they have the day one patch that comes out for anything they discovered from the European releases. You know, since it comes out early, I go, okay, well, we found this issue. Let's go ahead and get it fixed for the American releases as well. So I'm kind of happy the UK acts as a test bed for us sometimes.
That's not bad at all. I had an issue with Skyrim. I mean, it didn't really do it, but Markarth, when you have to do the quest where you help the guys escape out of prison.
Yeah.
Well, I did that, and it was on the Xbox 360, of course, because I don't have internet to the... I have internet, but it's not to my computer because we had to clean it in the baby's room. Mm-hmm. But anyways, you did that, and there was a glitch on the Xbox 360 version where after you did it, they always like, you're the guy I'm looking for. We're sending you back to the jail. And you couldn't go anywhere in Markarth, and you had all those stuff. And a guy at work, Samson, he was playing on it too, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, I can't be in Markarth. I was like, man, I really like it. And like, a week after it happened, Xbox was like, oh, here's an update, and it fixed it, and you could go back to the town. But even with that glitch, I was like, well, you know, it's a glitch in the game, they're going to fix it.
Well, a lot of Bethesda games seem really glitchy coming out, to be honest with you. Oblivion was like that. Fallout New Vegas, obviously, was like that.
Yeah,
even the original Fallout had some issues.
Yeah, Fallout 3 had some problems. Of course, Skyrim had some really big PlayStation 3 problems,
like it's just now working with DLC.
Yeah, like backwards flying dragons and all that, and disappearing inventory. So, yeah, I played on Xbox, but I was so OCD with that game that I think I spent 40 hours not even on the main story at the beginning. So by the time that I even got to Markarth to do that, they'd already patched it.
That's funny.
So I didn't run into any real serious problems in the game. I remember when Dongar came out, day one, I had an issue with some missing textures where floor disappeared.
Yeah.
And then they patched it and it worked just fine. Yeah. So.
See, I didn't buy the one where you can make the house because I'm like, I have a real life. I've got to keep up with my house.
Yeah.
But I played Dongar and I had issues with some textures. And it was like, you go, the father of the chick. And it was like, part of his face you could see through it. It was like the backside. I'm like, is he supposed to have just half a face? What's going on?
See, I didn't have this? That. I had it whenever you went to the actual Dongar's temple.
Oh, yeah.
And you walk in, there's this circular room, and the whole floor disappeared, and I fell in the water. And I was just like, what the fuck? So I'm trying to get out of this fucking water. I can't get out, and I'm like, oh, fuck it.
Previous save.
So I reload my save right when I had to run all the way back up the fucking hill.
Hilarious.
Spent 3 minutes getting up there, and I'm like, all right, well, I wonder what's going to happen when I walk in. Luckily, it didn't do it that time, but then I walked to the floor and fell right through it. I was like, fuck, so I reloaded, and it worked the third time.
I had problems with Dragonborn for 360, like you had a house, and you go down into the house, and this little hobble.
Yeah.
It's like a little hobbit house, and I go into the house, and then...
a little hobbit hole.
They go down the stairs, and as soon as you got off the stairs, there was, like, nothing. It was just the other side of the world.
Yeah. What was that glitch is the reason why I didn't join Dongard, why I joined the Vampires, because I was like, I don't want to walk into their place every time and fucking fall through the floor.
World of Warcraft had that glitch in one of the instances. Like, you could kill it, and then you could go through a crack in the wall, and you would fall down, and you would zone out, and you could basically, so you wouldn't have any aggro. My brother used to exploit the crud out of that. He would do all this stuff. He's like, and you knew exactly. What I tried it. I was running, like, I'm asleep at the keyboard, running into the wall. I die every time. He's like, oh, you gotta go a little bit to the right. I'm like,
God damn it!
Exactly. So I don't want to sidetrack. So you were going to talk about it. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, no. Oh yeah, yeah. Survival Instinct. Okay, I finally beat the game.
Yeah,
and I don't care about ruining anything. I'm not going to really bring up anything. But the game, the story for it goes not... It doesn't really go to the point where Merle and Daryl meet up with the group. It actually... there's a big gap in between there of what could have happened. So I was like, oh man. After playing, I was like, I hope to God they don't mean that they're going to release DLCs to finish the story, or they're going to make a second one, because I hope they don't do that.
That's
just
hilarious.
Leave it at this. Leave it at this. Don't do another one. Rather, why don't you have a really good studio, like a good AAA studio, do the battle with Woodbury and just have him do that Walking Dead. That might be awesome. Where it's an RPG. But either way, it has a lot of fun stuff to it. There's a little bit of irritant, you know, here and there. Overall, I gave it a 3. The game is probably about 8-9 hours. It's a decent length for a first-person shooter game. Yeah, just a regular one. It could have been longer,
actually.
More of an
adventure game, really.
Yeah. Well, first-person shooter. I'm just saying because it is first-person shooter. But it's survival. I mean, you're scavenging all the crap. But and it could have actually been longer because I was taking highways a long time. So you save on gas. But if you take streets or back roads, you run into more stops. You have more side stuff you have to do. Like I said last week, yeah, it definitely does suffer from Dragon Age 2 syndrome with its dungeons, which are side missions. When your car breaks down or you find a place to scavenge, it reuses the same locations over and over again, which got really fucking annoying because I was like...
Was there like a total of like 5 or 6 locations?
It's like 4 or 5. Four probably for these little side missions where, you come across a diner, you want to check it for... Oh, you come across a... fucking car lot, you know. Oh, your battery died. Get another battery. It's the same place where you got your fucking water hose from, and it's just and you're like,
I know
what
it's gonna be.
Yeah, you know. Well, they move stuff around a little bit, but the zombies are all the same in the same places. They just change some shit around. I was like, yeah, it had some nice settings for the main areas of the game. Those are really cool, and I wish they would have used that more. They could have made the cities way bigger, like really, like actually make it the size with the graphics level in that game. And it was only like a 6-gig game. They could have actually made the town areas the size of these small towns out in fucking Georgia. They could have reasonably done that because some of those towns are pretty goddamn small, but still bigger than this.
Yeah, and a lot of it like a single main street or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of single main street towns, and you're wondering off in these areas. They could have made these towns a lot bigger and made it more engrossing. Some of the story is really cool. You get to do some cool stuff. The melee still wasn't a problem for me. I really didn't use my guns very often. Really didn't care to.
There's still kind of the whole thing of take on 1 or 2 zombies at a time and that's it.
Preferably that's why you really want to do it, because you can get overrun with even 2 zombies. Because when you go to pistol whip one of them, you're not going to probably hit both unless you can corral them both next to each other. And even then, you might not get as lucky and the other one's going to swing at you and hit you, and they will take a lot of health off.
You should have took Great Cleave. You could have got them both.
Yeah, but it's one of those, you have to really have your timing down.
Yeah.
Is the thing, like, you know, with your axe, there's a little bit of a pause between when you press the button to when you finally get it out there to swing it, and you got to time it to where this zombie's going to be, he's right here, he's traveling this fast, I need to be on my downswing when he gets to here to cut his head off, so and you kind of hold your breath every time, and you luck out, and you're like, okay, pistol whip the other one, bam, all right, I'll kill him.
Well, this is coming from the guy that really likes Kingfield, so...
Yeah, this has that kind of... The melee has that kind of strategy. You have to know what you're doing. You really do have to pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to surroundings. My other problem was that they auto-spawn zombies on you, which really pissed me off. That sucks. I know. I'm walking through it, and they do it to amplify the intensity. I'm like, okay, I already cleared this area. There's nothing
like
here.
Like, I was watching you. I walked in while you were playing that one area, and you go into that police station, and it seemed like they just kept streaming through the door. I was like, where are they all coming from?
No, that was actually, they all those guys were outside, but they were still funneling around from the backyard area, and that's why they kept coming in. But I was walking through these tents in the football stadium, and I'd already cleared out a lot of the area, and it's just you're trying to rush through there pretty fast, you know, and...
You were about to say bum rush, weren't you?
No, I was about to say push, you're trying to rush through there pretty fast, and... Every time you come around a corner, one of them will grab you that was not there before. You even peek around the corner, he wasn't there. And then you walk through, bam, he grabs you. You're like, where the fuck did he come from? I have 20 fucking zombies chasing me. Now they're going to catch up to me. And I have to stab him in the head. Yeah, I have to stab him in the head and book it and hope to get... And then another one grabs you. You're like, motherfucker, you know? And you're getting so fucking pissed off. And then you get to the end, they're like, okay, take out all the zombies. You're like, oh, wow, yeah, great. You didn't tell me that I was going to have to take on the train that I was leading here, you sons of bitches.
I don't like that when they do that, because you know the zombies are there. You're like, that's the whole purpose. Mm-hmm. I got to kill zombies. I can't let someone just get you from behind. And you look, and they're not there. You're like, oh, I'm cool. Then you go, and it trips you, and he's out of nowhere. It's like, where did you come from?
Well, this has come from the guy that usually, like, room clears everything. So I know how
I was room clearing. I was room clearing all the streets. Clearing them all out to make sure that Yeah, I'm a scavenger when I play games, especially when I play scavenging games. I want to look everywhere. I want to find everything. I want to make sure I've got all the supplies. I mean, like, my gas tank was fucking full pretty much throughout the entire goddamn game because I would constantly find gas. I didn't care what my health was at. It really wasn't that hard. I had like 20 MREs by the end of the fucking game, 19 fucking sports drinks, so I didn't take too much damage. And I got to a point where I stopped taking food with me on trips. I'd leave all my food behind. I would take my knife, a baseball bat, and that's it. Then I just go out there and
so you
then
have
I
enough, got enough room in your pocket for other
yeah,
things.
Yeah, basically. And then they started making me carry my crossbow, I think, 24/7, which I was like, okay, I don't care, you know. And that's, and I would only use my knife. I wouldn't even use a crossbow. Why? Because aiming kind of sucks. I just prefer the melee. It's quiet, simple. I can kill things on one hit. You know, that way I don't have to worry about if I miss with the bolt. Because if I miss with the bolt, I don't get the bolt back. If I shoot the zombie, though, I can get the bolt back. I don't like those odds, so I'll just stick with the fucking knife. And right from behind. But overall, yeah, I'll give it 3 out of 5 stars. It's worth the pickup on sale. I don't mind that I spent the $50 on because I was interested in trying it out to warn you people if it was bad or not. I enjoyed it, but it's not going to be for everybody because it is a little OCD with the combat. You have to really understand the combat and be patient.
Right, that's so, fair.
Yeah. It's kind of like how Dark Souls.
Oh my gosh. It took forever to get through that, because if you don't target it just right, you go to hit it and it's on the other side. Yeah. Like, oh.
Exactly, and that's kind of how you have to really get the con. And I like games like that where you have to really, one, you have to manage your resources, you have to manage your energy, you have to really pay attention to what you're doing, and you have to always have an exit strategy. And that's the big thing.
I wouldn't put it on the same level as Dark Souls.
No. I'm just talking about the fact that you have to pay attention to what you're doing. It's not one of those things where you can just run in, push this guy, run past the other one. No, you really don't want to do it because, one, you can't run that fast, and you run out of energy pretty quickly. It's more, you just have to really pay attention to your surroundings, have an exit strategy, and manage your enemies.
So I'm going to say something real quick before we go on.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Souls. I have our Dark Souls minute.
Prepare to die.
So, Earl, where are you at in Dark Souls?
Oh, my goodness. I'm all over the place.
Neither of you guys have beaten it.
Let me tell you something. This is why I haven't beaten it. Because here's the thing. I have lost more children. All
right.
And I'm not like, I get upset when I'm in Quick Trip, or not even Quick Trip, like a store. Like the other day I went to a store. It was Walmart. And this little kid come running, and the person's all like, "You get your ass back!" You don't talk to a kid like that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't want my daughter to see all the violence. Like, I'll play Skyrim, as you said, and I'll be killing stuff, and she gets up from her nap. I'm like, oh, let's go decorate a house. You know what I'm saying? So, but I was stuck on the two big bosses, the Smoosh, the big fat guy, and the Dragon Knight.
And Ornstein,
yeah,
or whatever.
And the Dragon Knight. So I would play for a couple hours when I worked nights when my daughter would take her nap. And I kept messing up. I forgot to go two-handed, so I was doing the one thing.
Always
like you said, Solaire would get taken out fast. So I kept dying, and then I kept losing souls. And I had no humanity, so I have to go back down, switch the little... I forget what it's called, but it goes back down to the bottom thing where the white guys are that throw the knives.
Yeah.
And I have to farm them to get my humanity.
You'll kill
go
some
back,
members,
up.
Cut back up.
Exactly. And the problem with Dark Souls, it's not a problem because it's supposed to be that way, but it sucks. As soon as you get humanity, someone always invades you.
See, what I do is I farm humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go, I don't do it the bad way where you invade other people. I go to the sewers.
The
early beginning,
the rats.
Those rats. Those rats have fuck tons of humanity.
Oh,
and if you have. There's a ring or something you can wear that actually ups your chance for finding
good
stuff.
The
and
serpent
humanity,
ring or something like that.
Humanity is one of those. So I'll take off my Havel's ring.
That was the HS ring.
Yeah, Havel's ring. I'll take that one off and put on that ring. I'll go through and I'll just farm rats and I'll get like 30, 40, I think I was at 80 humanity at once.
Really?
And I hardly use it unless I know I'm going to need it. I don't care about the, oh, well, it ups this. No, I don't give a shit. I save my humanity because you really need it for certain points.
But you get a lot of humanity stored up. You also get more of a chance of the drops, too.
Exactly, yeah. But I store that shit up, and I use it. I'll use maybe 5 at a time and bring it out and raise my humanity.
You finally beat him, though, right?
I finally beat him. Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off. Oh, but yeah. My problem is I did that one time, and I had like 10 humanity, mm-hmm. and I go, okay, great, I'm gonna go kill him. Well, I had a bad time getting up the little pillar to get up to the room because the guys that shoot the big dragon bows, I kept getting knocked off, and I was running as fast as I could. Yeah. But I finally made it in there, and I'd get my humanity, so I'd go back, hit it, and it's like, you are being invaded. And 4 out of 5 times, they would get to me where you take the shortcut path.
Yeah.
They would get to me when I got up there, and then they'd kill me because they always have the good stuff. So I'm like, ugh. So I have to go back down, farm them again, and then do the whole thing over again. Well, the last time I played it, I said, okay, I keep forgetting to go two-handed. So I finally got in there, bolted, so Lair came in, he got that, and then when you have the big, I'm using the, right now, on the character I got, he's using the Z-Whacker, the big broadsword, the two-handed sword. So I finally do it, and if you do the main overhead attack, it interrupts what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'd go on the Dragon Knight, because he's the one that dies every single time.
Yeah.
And then big old fat boy would come over with his thing, and I'd run, drink my Estus flask. Mm-hmm. Well, he would die, and then he gets the big lightning, like you said, and then I finally end up killing him, and I went and saw the big...
Yeah.
The big endowed tracts of land, Guinevere lady.
The goddess, yeah.
Yeah, and then I got the warp. And now I was going to go do the painted room because I texted him the other night and I was like, on your last video in the podcast, I was like, who killed the two bosses, went in and got the peculiar doll and did something else. I forget what it was. Oh, I went and killed Cecil's Discharge.
Yes,
your favorite monster.
He is.
Because they updated so it goes fire now, and that sucks.
Yeah, I haven't been in there for that.
Yeah, but what you have to do is you go back to the altar.
You go
back to the altar where his sister was, mm-hmm. then you run back to the front, and then he'll do the big hand, and you can do the cheap kill.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I did all that in an hour and a half, and I was very pleased. I was like, all right. But now I'm doing I joined the Force Covenant. And I'm doing that right now, so.
Yeah, see, I don't do the cheap kill with Discharge. I just get in that main area where you first... I usually go down there real early when I first go after Quaelug.
Mm-hmm.
I go down there, and I run in, and I grab the gold-hemmed shroud, and I book it the fuck back out, because that comes in real handy.
Oh, it does. But with the update now, you have to do the cheap kill, because he blows that fire, and if you don't have the armor that his sister was wearing, he kills you in, like, 2 fire breaths.
No, that sucks.
So, you have to do that now. You have to get it to where he does the big hand thing, and then you don't ever kill him. He hasn't fallen off.
So, I have a pretty good fire resist, so I wonder... I went up against somebody who would do the fire thing in that big area.
So I always hit around the corners and waited for him to do the big hit, and then hit him in the hand or whatever it was.
That's the cheap. Yeah, that's the cheap way. Yeah.
But it's 20,000 souls. And you have a good day.
I just go in that front area and just do a lot of rolling and blocking, and I make sure I have a high fire resist and Havel's armor on, and I just go in there and I'm slow and clunky, but I can take a fuck ton of damage. Mm-hmm. And every time he comes down to slam, I just roll into him and then just fucking like really heavy attack. Over and over again, and when he pulls the sangue, I switch to my staff and shoot out like Solar Arrow as a parting gift.
That was where the comparison between Monster Hunter and Dark Souls came into play. Is Dark Souls kind of has you see these set mechanics on how to do it? Mm-hmm. These boss battles can take a while.
Oh yeah,
you can't mess up a lot. No, that's kind of like Monster Hunter. I mean, you in a lot of these that you can take about 3 or 4 hits.
That's like that fucking dog. Did you ever fight the wolf? In Dark Souls yet?
No, that's where I think that's the one you do the Force Covenant, right?
Yeah, that's where you
I'm ready to go ready to Scythe. Do that.
Scythe, yeah.
And what sucks is I went back because I had to go back to where the Hydra was because I didn't get the lady after you kill the golem and she comes out and you get her armor.
Yeah.
I forgot to do that. So then I went back and did. I climbed up the ladder and I'm like, oh, I have no idea where I'm at. So I went and killed all those trees, got some armor, and then I'm running. I hear a whoo-chee. I'm like, okay, what the heck? And then I see the big stairs that lead up to the one that you can buy 20,000 souls and get the crest. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on the other side. I didn't have to do it. And they killed me. And I'm like, I ain't running all that way back. So I used 2 souls of the hero, got my 20,000, bought the crest, went in, killed them all with the big power attack, and then joined the Force Covenant.
Those assholes right there, you can actually run back up the steps and jump off the side. Sorry, you don't have to run the steps. You can just go around the side, and they'll run up the steps and jump off.
So they just block and let them run over the top of you, and you get the...
Well, I killed them and joined the Covenant, so now they're not going
to
mess with me.
Well, occasionally you'll have one laying right next to you. Just push them. It'll fall on the edge.
Kick them.
Yeah. But that can be a pain in the ass, because sometimes mainly the big guy with the shield and the fucking... he'll hang the fuck back. He'll come up and then he'll stop because all the animals are running and he just stops. So you have to go after what's there to lure him in. And to be honest, I'd rather just kick their ass and then fucking nerf them. So, but a word of advice for Sif, keep your distance. Keep him in front of you. Keep your distance. Keep your block up.
It's such a cool fight.
He will. Yeah, it is really cool. It's very anime. But nice. He will jump in the air once in a while and land right on top of you. You don't take damage though.
Oh, that's cool then.
He's a dog. He's a wolf. He just lands there.
Yeah.
And you can just do a quick heavy attack. Bam! Right in his gut, which does a lot of damage. If you have the lightning rod, the lightning rod does some good damage. I have I have one of the big. Tooth, one of the gigantic dragon tooth fucking things now. But back then, I was fighting with the lightning rod, and he doesn't like that too much.
I have a lightning spear up there in the fortress.
Take it up to level 5 or whatever, and get in there and just shut. Most of the bosses, their first run through, hate that fucking thing. You can do a lot of damage.
And it goes fast. You can do some good fast attacks with that thing.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, just get in there and do some pokes and then do a straight up jump attack.
Sife's a big wolf with a sword in his mouth.
Yeah. And he swings that fucking sword. That's why I say keep your distance but keep it in front. Yeah. Figure out the radius of the sword and just stay out of that.
Then until he jumps at you and then he'll use the spear.
He hops around and when he hops towards you, get ready for it. When he lands, stab him and then he'll hop away.
Nice.
Back the fuck away from
him. Like a little bunny rabbit.
And there's a ring somewhere right around the big centerpiece of that area you want to.
That's the thing about Dark Souls. You kind of get used to the strategy, and it's a game of patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I don't care how much patience you have. That game is like the vengeful ex-girlfriend because you beat one level, and then you're running back, and you're like, oh, these guys are nothing. And then all of a sudden, you die, and you're like, what the... And then it always happens. You go running back, and something like off the Walking Dead game jumps out of nowhere that wasn't there before, kills you, and you lose everything. And you just turn the game off. I can't throw the controller at the TV because then my wife says I'm angry and I have to go to counseling. But anyways, so I'm just like, I don't like you. But you know what, though? I've only rage quit 3 times on that game. And
that's not bad for Dark Souls.
No, and it was every time I've done it is when I've had humanity, and it was when I was going after the 2 bosses. And some stupid bullshit reason made me die. I'm like, you know what? And we're done for the day.
Yeah.
But I love that game though. Everybody's like, "Oh, Dark Souls, it's so hard, it's so annoying. I don't like to rage."
It's not. It's
fun.
It's for gamers who.
It's a game made by gamers for
gamers. Yeah,
I know that's right.
Well, it's like with them. I mean, I was playing Kingsfield, which is a From Software game for the PlayStation back like over 20 years ago. I was playing that, and it's a fucking OCD. You got to pay attention to what you're doing.
It's true.
Our first person, RPG game, and I loved it. It's fucking...
But the problem...
It's boring as shit.
And here's a problem with a lot of people nowadays. They don't want the game that challenges them. They like to put it on easy. Like, for me, I don't like playing sports games, but once in a while, my son will want to play Madden. I have a Madden NFL game, 09, I think it was. I bought it when I got my Xbox, because I got a thing that gave me a free game from Best Buy, because I had stuff. So I'm like, oh, I like playing football. And I put that thing on rookie, AI all the way down. So I won't play a stupid game like that. Yeah. I don't want to die. But a lot of people don't want to have to strategize unless they're actually playing a strategy game.
Yeah.
So they just don't want to think. And if you play a game where if you die, if you don't get back to where you're at, you lose everything, people don't want to play that game. But if you enjoy that game, it's tons of fun. And
it's rewarding to know that you beat something after you've tried a lot.
Well, speaking of that, let's jump into BioShock because I have...
Oh, I'm ready about this.
Something. Well... There's a game mode you can play once you beat it that I'll go into. They talked about it before it came out, so I was very happy to see
it.
They did
talk about that game mode. But
so, yeah. That's what I'm doing now.
I would say that, first off, before you intro the BioShock, you really should play it on hard if you play first person.
I started the game on the hardest setting because I was like, I want a challenge, and BioShock 1 was a great game that was very challenging at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't. So,
in the immortal words of a person who does commentary for StarCraft, you need to play brutal mode because that's man mode.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just saying.
Well, I was going to say that the biggest thing for me, though, is like I played it on medium for the first couple levels, and it's like there's way too many pickups.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm wasting them all. So I bumped it up to hard, and now I'm enjoying myself. I'm like, oh, this is actually a challenge. I'm having fun.
Hard mode was too easy for me. It felt like it was not hard enough.
So what modes after hard?
We'll get into that.
Okay, I'm ready to build it.
It has a great name. It has a great name.
Because I enjoyed Bioshock was an amazing
game. Bioshock 1 was a great game. And I loved it because it was challenging. Big Daddy's fucking sucked. And when you wanted that fucking Adam, you were like, okay, if I kill the little sister, I'm going to be in deep shit.
Exactly.
But I really want that fucking Adam. And so you would spend like 12 minutes beating the shit out of this guy, respawning, going and beating him up, respawning, beating him up. And sometimes they'd disappear. Sometimes they'd walk, they'd put the little sister and go away. And by the time you got back, they were gone. You're like, ah.
Nothing to harvest.
You're like, I should have just killed that girl.
Yeah, I should have.
Should have just done it. One would have been bad enough.
Yeah, but.
Well, I will say, Bioshock Infinite is done. I'm not going to ruin the whole intro because the intro was kind of magical.
Oh, it's bad.
I enjoyed the intro. The sniper, the going down and saving the girl with the noose. That was nice. I like
that. That's actually.
That's way far to the game.
Oh, is it? Well, that's the commercial I saw. Was that? That's what I saw. I haven't seen the intro then, I guess. Yeah. I don't want to lie and say I have because I haven't. But the preview I saw for the game, that was nice.
So. What?
I won't say it on air, so I'm not going to bring it up.
We'll bring it up afterwards.
We can do it on break.
Remind me of the news whenever we get done with the show.
Oh, we could do break or something, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
So, we'll go to a break after this. I don't want to dwell on this too long. But I do want to talk about Bioshock. And Bioshock Infinite is more than what I expected.
I expected it to suck or be mediocre. It's amazing. I actually fucking love the game.
It's not bad. It's to you.
Huh?
Kind of like with Tomb Raider.
No, actually, I like this way more than
Tomb Raider. But you came in not like it, thinking worse
of
it.
I love Bioshock. I just expected this third one.
Oh, I got you. Because of what 2 did to you?
Well, not even because of what 2 did to me. It's just because, one, the change of setting, the drastic change of setting, first off, and very Jules Verne's, the way that they go back and forth.
It's
but, you know.
So, I'm not going to spoil the story too much. If you guys don't want to hear anything about this, just skip to the break and we'll tell you, say the break will be in 15 minutes.
Well, let's cover what we already knew.
We knew it was going to be a city in the clouds.
Called Columbia, that annexed from the U.S. That's the main thing which we knew.
I will say this. So, I didn't expect this game to deal with racism as much as it does.
Yeah.
There's some crazy racism.
Oh, I heard about that. I heard that they got the racism big card on it.
Yeah, I knew they were going to tackle those subjects.
I didn't expect to see Blackface or any of the other stuff. In the game.
Oh, it's not even that, dude. The fucking raffle? The beginning?
Yeah, I don't
blew,
that's,
I know,
that's,
I know.
That's
I'm just saying,
deal.
That blew me away. I was just like, holy fuck.
Yeah. It's one of those games that takes some issues that happened a long time ago and really expands and makes it really ugly. And it doesn't glorify any of the stuff.
No.
It brings it to light.
It really brings it to light. And it's something that I haven't seen a game do in a long time.
Yeah.
Is have a really... really like relevant to a history kind of story to it, and it kind of goes into that whole like they're basically worshiping the forefathers. I mean, we can say that.
Yeah, we already knew that. They already knew that. It's not even so much they basically take the forefathers of America and biblicize them in a way to where it's like they talk about Washington crossing the river
with a flaming sword.
Right. and they say and our leader is the holder of the sword. He now owns that sword and he is the prophet. And
that would be
and
amazing
they
if he
glorify,
did that in real life.
I know, they glorify
this
shit.
That would be scary as crap. So you can be with a flaming sword going, yeah. I can give up.
And they glorify
it's very much
stuff,
like
yeah.
a weird take on, like it feels very John Smith.
It's kind of Ayn Randish. Like Bioshock 1 was Ayn Rand to the fucking wall. Everything was Ayn Rand. And this one reminds you of a contrast of that. I can't stand Ayn Rand, but in a good way, these games remind me of her. And this one, it's all there. It's everything that was in Bioshock 1 that was made it so fucking awesome. New stuff is there that makes this actually pretty goddamn amazing.
It's you don't see a game with a message like this does.
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't say it doesn't say politically, and like you know, Republican or Democrat or American politics thing, but brings life some of our ugly history. And it's kind of like if this city in the clouds happened and they forgot about Lincoln. Well, they didn't really forget about Lincoln; they just twisted the story.
Yeah.
Slavery still exists, basically.
Well, it has that Big Brother kind of thing where we're altering the history.
Like they're so isolated from the rest of America, they still hate the Irish. They still hate black people. They still hate any
Jewish people too. You see that in
Native
world.
American.
So what I'm hearing is they said, look, all this stuff that basically they just want to say, look, we're just going to take all the horrible things that happen and make it a reality in this game.
Basically, we're going to take all the horrible things that happen and create a world where this little division of people never grew up. They never changed. Right. And you're going to be in the middle spin. Of it. And it's actually really
interesting. Well, and they even show all the twists in history that they twist on history going up. So, like, there's a different... Oh, yeah. Like, they glorify John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
Because he murdered...
There's probably still some people in this world that glorify John
Wilkes Booth. Yeah, there probably are. But they have that Six Emperor Tyrannus on... Like, there's this one room you walk into, and there's this Six Emperor Tyrannus, like, plastered over every archway.
Really?
And you're just like, wow. And they even have, I think, a portrait of John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, there's a statue.
Yeah. And you're just like...
Our hero!
But what you're talking about, where they take... They take these racist tones of things that America is guilty of doing. You know, it's old America and the other colonies and everything. And they take a look at it, and they don't approach it, like you said, from a political point of view. They approach it more from a moral point of view. And I don't mean religion. It's more, you know, the instinctual morality of a human being to this is right, this is wrong.
Yeah.
What are you going to choose? And they actually give you some options here.
That's cool. That makes you a moral decision. Yeah. And like, in one, are you going to kill the girl or are you going to save the girl?
Well, they have some things like that where you're like, oh, I would feel like a dirtbag if I did that.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want this on my gamer card. No. I don't want an achievement. Someone,
Big Brother actually looks like, oh, well, he got this achievement. Let's go find him.
This is an achievement that's not worth having. And it's like one of the first things you get to do in the game. You know what I'm talking about?
When you get your first choice, guys.
Yeah.
You look at that and you're like, I'm really choosing the option.
Yeah, you're like,
right.
I am not going to do that. So, it wasn't even a question for me. I was just like, wow. Anybody who had to sit here and think for a second.
Anybody who hit you is a dirtbag.
Go fuck
you know what? Let me tell you something. This is like the thing about Peter. If you haven't realized, you wouldn't want to do it.
Mm.
But it's the whole thing with Peter where they're attacking like the Assassin's Creed because you're coming. So let me tell you something. Yeah, after I heard about that, I went on Skyrim, took off my gloves, and just beat the crud out of Horkers. I said, I'm beating Horkers up. If anybody from PETA listen to this, you can get a hold of me. I'll save my email later.
Arnold.
But I just be listen. It's you don't want that because someone might look at it in real life and go, oh, "He got that achievement. I'm gonna boycott him and flag him
he's
or
a,
whatever."
He's a worker hunter.
Exactly. Yeah. He's an orker hunter.
Yeah.
But on the game, you can do two slots. Like, well, what would happen if I choose that? Just to see how the game went.
If I go back through, and seeing the achievements, there is an achievement for three. One, I'm gonna be a little like, why did they give you an achievement for that?
Yeah.
But I'm still going to do it just to get the achievement.
Exactly. Like I said, it's all fantasy. Yeah. It's not what you would really do in real life.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. People put too much... But as human beings, we're designed like, oh, I wouldn't do that.
As a massive RPG player, like Mass Effect, Fallout, BioShock, with this one, and Mass Effect
BioShock's
especially...
Not really an RPG. It's
No. I'm talking about with a choice system.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more kind of focused on this, is that... With games that give you that choice option, my first playthrough I always play it through the way that I want to, which is always I make the right choice. The choice, well, Mass Effect is a good example where sometimes there's no black and white. Sometimes there's a gray choice, and you're just like, well, I don't know what this is going to affect, but this is what I think is morally right to do.
Yeah.
Or this is what I would do in this situation. Like a good one is, like whenever you're going to get Archangel Garrus, and there's a dude working on the drop ship, and you can electrocute him or you cannot. You're like, this guy's not really doing anything wrong. He's just repairing a ship.
Yeah.
It's a job, but I can electrocute the shit out of him.
Exactly.
So when it comes into play later on, it's damaged, or I can just go ahead and let him be and fight it at full strength. And whenever I play Paragon, I let him go. I don't do it. But I play Renegade, I shock the shit out of that.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want a Renegade BioShock.
Well, it's kind of like Telltale, The Walking Dead, when you come up to the first, the station wagon.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you steal or don't you steal? Well, if you don't steal, it makes you feel like you're it's like, oh, but we have to do this.
Have you beaten that game yet?
I've almost beat it.
Nearby, I can't
breathe. Well, no, I've seen, I know what happens. But then if you steal from them, right?
How does that affect the rest
then,
of the game?
Then the little girl's like, I ain't gonna take that. Clementine's like, that's stealing. And then, I don't want to give any spoilers, but you know what happens to her, the guy. But anyway, but it's like that. It's like, well, in my side, I wouldn't steal. But then if you choose it like I did, they're all like, come on, Lee, we have to feed the collective, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, this is... So,
they kind of force you into it.
Exactly.
Which, Telltale with Walking Dead, I think it's a great game.
They made some really good moral decisions for
the game. Oh, yeah, true.
And it's awesome to see which ones come back to haunt you. And mm-hmm. and but with that station wagon one, that's a good example where they forced you into another one.
Yeah.
Is the RV. I'm not going to say, well, when you're standing outside the RV and you're trying to convince somebody not to do something. And,
exactly.
Yeah, and or no matter who you, no matter, even if you try and pigeonhole one of them, it's you know, they, it's the, still the same person.
When you go to the farm and you're trapped in that wall, and what's this, you know who gets you know what. I don't want to give any spoilers. If you haven't beat the game yet or been there yet,
just
sit
in an afternoon and just play the damn game.
They force your hand. They force your hand a number of times.
Yeah, they do.
And that kind of sucks, but at the same time, I think they're trying to say that you can't control everything.
No, you can't.
It's you know, you're not going to, you might be the leader, sort of, but you're not going to be able to control everybody in your group. And that's that chaos factor, which I don't mind so much. But, you know, I really wish they would have kept to their truth when they said, you're going to be able to control everything.
Yeah.
And then they said, no, never mind, you can't. But anyways, yeah, Bioshock. I love the show. Man, the rail system shit.
It's pretty
during
cool.
During fights. Oh, man, during fights, it's fucking fun. Like, Handyman. When the Handyman come around, those are the big gorilla-looking guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Those things fucking suck. Okay, everything else on hard mode is a cakewalk except for those guys. Mm. They fucking blow ass. Because...
they're pretty difficult.
They are strong as shit. They fucking chase you around. And if you get on the rails,
they'll
jump up there and electrocute them.
Wow.
And so you have to be quick and listen because they'll talk about it. Because they keep saying shit and you'll have to wait for him to say, get down. And you know that's your chance to jump down. Because it's weird because even though he's attacking you and trying to do this shit, it's like the brain that's still inside the body doesn't want to do it because he keeps telling you to go away, get away from me, blah, blah, blah. He's trying to warn you to get away while he's trying to kill you, which is kind of interesting.
But you know what really makes that game? The dialogue in that game is really good.
Very well written.
There's between, because you got your main guy, Booker, who's going up to find Elizabeth. It doesn't explain that right off the bat. You know who Elizabeth is. She's the gut girl in the picture of all the...
She's in the commercials and everything, yeah.
Yeah, so...
That's the
basic
news, right?
Yeah. You see that in the commercial, but the basic premise of it is you're going after her, but she's so well written. I mean, there's a lot of ebb and flow between her and Booker.
No, I thought the dialogue was great. Just wait.
Here's my thanks.
But like her facial expression,
the eyes, everything.
Like she's so expressive. Like
the boobs are just...
Here's the thing. A good dialogue can make up for really horrible game mechanics.
Yeah.
Like when
this doesn't have horrible game mechanics.
Well, no. I know. I'm not saying it does. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't know how many games I played that people thought were stupid or sucked.
Yeah.
But it was like, man, the storyline of the dialogue is amazing.
The only thing I found to be a problem in the game is something that's fixable, and that's just the default keyboard layout.
Yeah,
kind of sucks.
Oh, I got that 12-button mouse, so I use that for my punch and my reload and a bunch of other things.
But they put the zoom, the crouch, and the melee are all ZV and CV and Z.
Yeah,
all at the very bottom. So you're up here trying to direction, you know, move, and then you got to reach down and hit the melee. So I moved them all around to better places, but the default left. That was my only complaint, but that's something that's fixable.
Well, see,
other than that, it's perfect.
I have one of those Naga MMO mice, and I got it originally for Star Wars, but it's got all 12 number keys on the left-hand side, so I have all the number keys as my different things.
Yeah.
That's what I hated about some games on the computer, because I'm like, I'm over here using, like, what was it, Dark Age of Camelot was one of them. Mm-hmm. You would use the up-down left-right arrows, which was fun, but then sometimes you'd have to attack. If you didn't set it right, you had to hit, like, the bottom right, I don't know what numbers, like what you were talking about. I'm like, oh, I don't like that. Then you have to go in, find it, set it just right.
Well, I went in, originally I tried to play it on controller. I was just like, I really can't enjoy it on controller. I was like, I need to really play it on keyboard and mouse. Yeah, I want to be able to aim. And the controller, it started off with one area of the game that's not a really big throwaway is the training area, which is basically a giant fair. You walk in, they got this game where it's called Find the Devil, and it's your introduction to aiming with tonics. Where there's this, you know, and it's done like an old Barker, you know, and you walk up and you drink the tonic and it gives you this thing called Bucking Bronco.
Yeah.
Which allows you to...
Sounds like something.
Well, basically, you throw it out and it lifts things in the air and will slam them down after a little
bit. Nice, that's cool.
But what happens is they have this game where there's this woman with a baby who goes back and forth, and there's three chairs in this study room, and there's a devil behind one of the chairs. You have to pick which chair and shoot it without being the lady. So it's this really kick-ass carnival. They have, like, this thing called Shoot the Box, where you gotta get a shotgun. It teaches you how to shoot with guns, with shotguns, which are close range. And you have to shoot these Vox on zip lines, which are just bad guys.
You forgot to say spoiler alert.
No, this is not monumental. This is basically a training area. And it's done up like an old carnival. And it's actually pretty fucking nice.
It's like 1920s World Fair.
Yeah, basically. And they're showing off all these cool inventions they have, which you've seen in the commercials, like the motorized horses.
Yeah.
You've seen that they have one of those and they talk about it. You can actually listen in to what they're saying.
Well, you know, the crazy thing about that game so far is I've been going around just exploring.
Oh, yeah. It's big.
Like, I'm just like, I'm going to go solve this side quest, or I'm going to go do this. I'm just going to go look around for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend more time doing that than I do actually fighting half the time.
Yeah, I actually covered every city street and every store that was open you could go into and every little hidden place I could find. I covered a lot of them and found a lot of cool stuff. You'll find keys, and it tells you find the chest that goes to this key to get stuff. You'll find written codes on the wall, and it says there's a code book you need to find somewhere.
And they usually kind of hint to where it's going to be too.
They'll mention something either on a journal, they'll mention it, or somebody will say something in the room that you hear.
And I thought it was in this store, and then you're like, okay, I'll go find that store, and I'll come around.
And then you come back, and it'll give you the answer, and it unlocks a stash for you. See, they have nice hidden stuff all over the place for you to find, which is kind of cool. Another thing I liked is, let's talk about the AI, the friend AI. Because we knew that Elizabeth was going to be with you in the game, but the cool thing is to actually give her a purpose. She's not just a tag-along. If you walk into a room and you're scavenging, she'll scavenge.
Really?
And occasionally she'll say, that's here, nice. Take this. And you turn around and she'll flick you money.
Yeah.
Or she'll like, say,
hey, here's ammo, and you're in the middle of a firefight, and she'll throw you a gun.
Yeah, she will assist you if she can scavenge. If she's pinned down somewhere, she's not going to be able to scavenge, and she'll just say, I don't have anything right now. But if she's able
sometimes
to...
Sometimes she'll throw you health and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, if she's able to scavenge, she'll...
That's
she'll,
cool.
Yeah.
I like a game like that, because like I said, when you play like a, what is it, Skyrim, if you had a companion, it wouldn't just automatically scavenge sometimes. It's like, come on, just look.
I know, I hate that shit.
They just get right in your way.
And she works really well with just, you know, she actually interacts with the environments, which is kind of cool. Like, if you walk into a room while it's downtime and you're just exploring, she'll go and sit in one of the chairs and just sit in there right in plain view and just kind of wheel back and forth.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting the way that she blends in with the atmosphere very well. And they'll have dialogue going back and forth with each other, which is kind of nice. Very well done, and she comes in handy in combat, which we'll go into at a different time, not on this episode, because it kind of gives away some story. But the game mode, because I felt like hard mode was a little too easy, especially compared to Bioshock 1, I knew they were going to put this in the game, I just didn't know how badass it was going to be. It's called 1999 mode.
Really?
And it harks back to to games of 1999 where it was just that brutal, oh my fucking god, I can't believe I just fucking died kind of thing. And the reason why is because if you run out of money, they don't revive you anymore.
Ooh.
You get sent back to the start menu. You have to load your checkpoint.
That's nice.
And it has checkpoints and saves, but it'll take you back to there. Ammo is a little bit hard to find. Your health is a little bit hard to find. And it's all about going in there and being very strategic with your resources and your funds. And if you want to go down a certain path with your tonics, they actually devote you to that, focusing on this type of combat.
They just not give you enough.
I haven't figured that one out yet. I don't know. I just remember reading that that's what they're supposed to do, and I think that's still in there that they're going to devote you to a path of what you're doing. Another thing is your nav helper, where you hold down N and it tells you where to go. That's not there anymore. You just have to kind of explore to find out.
One other thing that we haven't talked about, this is definitely the best looking Bioshock game. It looks like a next gen game.
No, it is. It is fantastic. I have it on Ultra and it's fucking fantastic.
So me and Trent have fairly beefy systems.
Now is it gonna? Now my question is: will looks the look as good on a console, like a 360?
I think it'll push the 360. Though.
It'll look good, but it won't look.
Because I say I know, like what you said on there, you have like the three monitors and you have all like
your system's
rated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got the whole raid going on, so everything looks wonderful.
Everything looks fantastic, and.
But will it be the same, do you think, for the X? Or
it'll look good on yours.
It'll be one of the best looking 360 games.
Yeah, it'll be one of the best looking.
Okay.
It'll be like what Mass Effect fucking 3 looked like when that came out. Because that actually was pretty badass looking, and you were just like, oh my god. Or like Halo, when Halo Reach came out and you saw the background, you're like, this is awesome. That's this next step for games. You'll look at this and you'll just be blown away. The second you walk into Columbia, you will just be.
I may just show you the intro before you get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's worth watching. Oh, just let him play it. So. Just tell them where to go, have them beeline it into the Rafflair. Actually, it'll write over your game.
Oh, will it?
Yeah, I'll let them play it online because I just started 1999 mode. So I'll just, I'll just start over again.
It'll overwrite your game if you do a new game?
Yeah, if you press new game, it'll overwrite your existing autosave.
Ooh.
Because I think actually, if you go to your chapters, I think you can select which autosave you want because it backs them up a little bit.
Maybe I'll see if there's a chapter I can load a chapter.
Yeah, or you can just back up your save game folder.
I'll figure out something. It won't take long. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Anyways, I've already beaten the game. And I can
there's
say,
no multiplayer mode, so you can give a good rating right now.
Yeah, I can give... I will say this is, without a doubt, five stars. This is a five-star.
Ooh, a five-star game, huh?
I rarely give them out, but the games that have been coming out have just been... It's nice they've been really good. A lot of the games that have been coming out have been so good. But this one... Windows 8, it doesn't like. I already knew that was going to happen. But Windows 7, it runs just fine. No issues.
I haven't gotten 8 yet.
Yeah, no. Well, that's why I have 7 and 8. But no issues whatsoever that I could find. It ran beautifully on ultra settings. It was just fantastic.
I think that if you had a pretty fair end PC, you could run on high settings without a lot of problems.
Yeah, probably. And that's another thing. That's another thing, is the design. Even the menus were just
so it's a very very seamless.
Yeah, very seamless, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, just the way that it's just the art direction of that game is so good.
Yeah. What'd you think like, of the intro when you hit the bells on the lighthouse?
That was so...
Remind me of Close Encounters.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
We'll show Earl a little bit, but... We're running a little bit long right now. We really need to take a break.
That's my bad. I'm good at sidetracking.
The one thing I was going to say is a couple people I have talked to don't like the game. They're like, well, it really doesn't have anything to do with BioShock 1 or 2. There's really no tie-in.
They're reinventing it.
No, hold on. Here's what they said. They said there's no tie-ins, there's no nothing. It's just this whole... It's like they took a different game that has nothing to do with it and just called it BioShock. Get to the end. If you get to the end... Yeah, he farts on the fucking show all the
time. I was going to say, I'm not even on break yet.
Yeah.
Oh,
but here's the thing. The writing, I will admit, I never liked Ken Levine too much, but after playing this game, I respect the man. I respect the man very well. But they do find a way of bringing all this together in such a beautiful way that...
I'm definitely not a fanboy for my own reasons, but...
Yeah.
See, my problem is
I'm not going to say that.
How can you say it's not a game if you don't go through and beat it all
exactly,
the way and
I know,
see it?
I know. You
That's
need
what
to.
Upsets me. That's
you
what
need
upsets
to, but,
me.
But the implications that are born from the end of that game blow your mind. Nice. You're just like, holy shit, that's pretty fucking amazing that's what they came up with. I was like, wow. So... Beat the fucking game. If you haven't picked it up, fucking buy it. It will be one
Don't
of the best games you'll ever play.
Beat.
Yeah, it's like the people come on after playing an hour of a game. So this game
exactly.
sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and you look at their Steam profile. They don't even own it. You're like, why are you posting it?
Oh, watch the YouTube. The guy played it and I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. It's like my brother's cousin, uncle works for the developer, and he said,
"And you're an idiot, and I'll never trust you."
Yeah, you can go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, Meat Boy 44.
It's like you want to do the Jay and Silent Bob. It's like I wrote down your name, and I will find you.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, fantastic fucking game. I cannot stop. I've been looking forward to talking about this game since Tuesday night when I beat it because it was just fucking awesome.
So, how long did it take you?
14 hours.
Okay.
He told me like 8 days and 2 minutes. I don't know what to believe anymore.
That is 14 hours, which was... Oh, another thing I forgot is there's a part where you cut through houses.
Yeah.
And they tell you violence isn't always a way to get through something. Do you notice that if you stand in front of the windows and look outside and a guard sees you, they will come after you in the house?
Yeah.
They can see into the fucking
That's
houses.
Funny as heck.
That was actually, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, like, most games where it's like, oh, I can just stand here and get naked.
They're like, wait, what's this guy? Go get him.
Yeah, they actually just hear him go, like, freeze. And all of a sudden they all convert.
Well, I always,
since
you brought that up one last moment, like, a lot of times I'll wait before I start opening fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we'll be walking through an area and nobody does anything. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to keep doing
this.
Oh,
yeah, that's happened to me a couple times.
And then
I
walk into a room and then I scavenge around. Somebody's like, oh, you're stealing stuff. So I start getting shot.
Like, yeah, because they don't know what you really look like, so they don't know who to attack. But my thing is I'll possess somebody.
And that's racist in itself.
Yeah.
You look like a guy that we're looking for.
We're profiled. Yeah. But I'll possess a turret.
Irishman.
Yeah. I'll possess a turret or I'll possess a... I love possessing the turrets because I possess hilarious. That and I just sit back and I just hear guys die. Oh, and then when it's done and it gets blown up, I possess whoever's the strongest guy left. Nice. And just sit back and let them kill each other. I keep doing that over and over again until they clear everything and I just go out there and scavenge. Just get
amazing.
To pick up shit and walk away.
So,
amazing.
We're going to take a break.
Break!
Yep. We'll be back in a minute. And welcome back yet to this episode of the Tiltcast. I didn't know where I was going to go with that. And I just realized that we've been on break for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Listen, what we did at the break stays at the break.
So, we are back for
actually,
our...
I think it's slipping out.
Oh, let me zip up my pants.
Let me tighten my anus.
So, PAX happened and brought some news. I wanted to kind of pick and choose. I know that in previous years, we went to PAX and we gave you a shitload of information. I think this year I kind of wanted to pick and choose and see what was useful. Honestly, I don't know if we're going to get a whole lot of big reveals out of PAX until after the next-gen consoles, because it seems like there's some games coming out, but not near the volume of games that were coming out last year. This time last year, we'd already had, like, 20 games and maybe 5 that were decent. Now we have, like, what, 2 that are decent?
So far.
Tomb Raider and Bioshock, basically, that have been really, really good. Don't Starve.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple that are not AAA. So, yeah.
So you guys normally went to PAX? How did we go this year?
Money and time.
Oh, well, that sucks. I understand that.
So
things just creep up on you.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a pretty involved process. I mean, you go to PAX, even if you get in as a press badge, I mean, you're still looking at about... I took $1,500 last time I went.
Did you?
Because it's about set lodging and travel expenses cost me about $800. Food there wasn't cheap. I could have gotten cheap, you know, basically carnival food, or I could eat at some of the nice restaurants in Boston.
Boston's always expensive.
So like every meal was about $20. So I'm just, you know, I spent some money.
Yeah.
But I expected to. That's why I took so much money with me.
It's true. I was looking on there and they said it was, I guess, really, really successful. I mean, for the people. Because they said that the passes sold out in like a couple days.
They usually
couldn't even get it, so I don't know. I've never been to a PAX before, so I don't know
if
that's
successful. If you ever get a chance to do it, it was jam packed.
Yeah.
Like every year that it's been open, it's always a record breaking year.
That's cool.
Like this year it was like 80,000 strong.
Yeah.
And this is like the sister convention. I mean, PAX East over in Boston, 2011 was the last time I went.
Yeah.
And that was the first time they did it, and it was like, oh, we expected like 50,000 people, and it was like 75,000 plus.
Everything I've read, people they had a great time and loved it. So I mean,
It's not quite like going to, like GDC or something like that. It really is more for the fans even than it is for generalists. I mean, you can get press passes and get some backstage access, so to speak, where you can get first looks at things and they let you get in a little bit early. But it's not like early like GDC or anything like that. It's like, here you go. You get to get in 3 hours early before everybody does on Saturday. So you can get some
kind of like a Sam's Club corporate membership. Oh, you get to come in an hour before we open.
But it's
the
not like... It's not like E3 where it's pretty much press exclusive. This is fans come in, dress up however you want, have fun with it. There's been big long lines for games.
Yeah.
I think it's like $60 or something. It's not super... It's about like going to a concert, but it's like a 3-day pass for $60.
Well, that's cool though.
So, and there's just a crap load of fans and there's a lot of people
as
showcasing their games.
Well, as it should be. I mean, if it's going to be about games, you need to have fans, not
and
press.
That's probably why I think PAX, in my opinion, would be more fun than something like E3. E3, you get a lot of exclusives, but you don't get a lot of... I mean, it is really just for the press. It's not for people. Not that press aren't people, but you know what I mean. It's not for just the regular fans.
They're not people. They're not people. They slander people's names.
We're kind of falling between. I mean, we're not like IGN level, but we're also not like total fanboy level either. So we're somewhere in the middle. And for us, it's good middle ground because...
That's cool.
Obviously, me and Trent are avid fans of the games. We don't get a lot of the games for free. I mean, we spend some decent money on what we do. But we have fun doing it. So, I mean, that's why we
go.
There's still a passion.
Listen, if you don't have a passion, you shouldn't do it. That's the whole thing. I mean, I understand, like, with the whole pro gaming circuit. I mean, they're getting paid for that. But, I mean, if you lose the love of something, you should just stop.
Well, and if I was going through these and was like, I got to get through the next game, like, there was a point where we were trying to get every single game that came out on every Tuesday. And we've kind of gotten past that, and that was really expensive.
Man, I was going to say.
And it wasn't as fun because I couldn't sit there and enjoy as much. No. And now I think we kind of pick and choose.
Yeah.
And I have a lot more fun.
Because you got to power rush through all those, and you don't really have time to stop. Like you, like on the games like you do, like you like to scavenge and look around.
Yeah, I like to
if you're trying, the roses, if you're man. Trying to get it all the time, all you're doing is doing that rush. So kind of like when Diablo 3 came out, that guy beat it in so much, but he was just rushing through just to say, yeah, I was the first guy to do it. Yeah. And that kind of just defeats it.
You lose a lot of backstory, like extra story or extra stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you're like, oh, that game was really linear. Then you go back, and you're like, oh, never mind. There's a lot more to it than I thought.
Exactly.
The people that beat Fallout in 10 hours or 5 hours or whatever. Yeah. I played the main story, and I rushed through. I just power-clicked my way through it.
Yeah, it's
but
I don't like that.
That being said, I wanted to bring up some PAX East stories, and then we'll jump into a little bit of emails and news or whatever.
Nice.
Or other news. But for the most part, I wanted to bring up a game that I talked to you guys about, and Earl, I think you'll have some comments on this. And that was Outlast. It was an indie game that came out that was revealed at PAX East. Because it was out this summer on Steam. And so, basically to describe it, it kind of has that whole, like, complete survival horror thing. It's a dude that's just running from something. And, like, parts of it were a guy in a completely dark room, and he pulls up his night vision on his camera, like his handy cam, and that's how he's seen in the dark. And it felt like it was... like, too scary for me to play, because I'm a pussy, and I know that.
But, right up my fucking alley.
That's amazing.
But right up Trent's alley. It's very much like an Amnesia-type game, not based in that setting. It seemed modern day. It
seemed a little bit more action-packed than Amnesia.
In fact, way faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, dude hiding under the bed and things like that.
Actually, scarier than Amnesia, actually. I mean...
I don't know, man.
Amnesia has Well, what I saw in that video was a little bit more well-orchestrated compared to what Amnesia would do here and there. Of course, that was a video, not really gameplay, so we'll have to see.
Now the bad thing would be if that was, like what we were talking about Bioshock Infinite, or on the break, how you were talking about the...
Yeah.
Now, that would really stink if that's not even in the game. I don't. It's kind of like when you watch a movie, you're like, oh, this is a great movie.
If you listen to the first half,
and then you watch it.
You now know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and you watch it, and then it's absolutely it's like all the great parts were that, or it's not even really in there.
Yeah, so everything you saw in the trailer in Bioshock, forget everything except for the style.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was just something to kind of show what you could do, so.
But it looks fun. It does. Like I said, I'm along there with you. Like, when I played Silent Hill, I made it to a certain part, then I was like, you know, I got to quit. It's the same thing with Resident Evil. Then it's like, okay,
so I could do Resident Evil, but I can't.
Yeah, but
I can't do Amnesia.
No, but yeah, it looks fun. It really does for being an independent game.
It's about
the
realism.
Really well done.
It's about the realism of the horror. I mean, Resident Evil, you can kind of set yourself out of that and be like, this is just a
zombies or an outbreak or
story. But when you play something that's really, I'm gonna scare the shit out of you, horror based, and something that's even more realistic, then it kind of.
And
kind of fucks with you,
and what you're saying, it sounds right, because if you look at the review on it, like what you were saying earlier, when they revealed it, they said that the booth was the most isolated one there. They were like, over you had the black,
blacked out the booth,
and the guy that was reviewing it was even saying that he even got a couple screens. So if they're going to do that to introduce it to you,
it was the only game that at PAX where people were playing it, and they're like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. At the same time, though, I saw hype like that with the Kinect game that came out, that horrible, horror game.
I don't
Kinect
think
game.
This will be that bad.
Oh, no, I'm just looking at saying, but I'm not saying it's going to be that bad, it's just I don't pay attention to...
True.
To hype.
Yeah, to the hype. I pay attention to what I see.
But the hype on this looks pretty good. So,
it does look good.
It looks nice.
When I say hype, I mean what people are saying, what they're out there saying, because they're showing you the best of the best, just like with the movie trailer. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this, Stallone's kicking ass, and you go there and it's him reading poetry for fucking 2 hours. And then he gets into a fight.
Clint Eastwood in the lonely chair.
Then he gets into a fight because one guy at Open Mic Night said he sucked, and that was the whole movie. You know, and they totally fuck you on that, and
exactly.
I hate that shit. You know, and that's why I don't... So like, Watch Dogs was great, because what I've seen of Watch Dogs is quite a bit. Like, the whole level where you escape through the fucking terrain thing. You're just like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
we're
not a video.
We're getting quests, basically.
Yeah, that's a whole level I got to see. I didn't watch a video. But the video did look good. I was pretty impressed with it.
I liked it.
So, progressing on from that, there's a couple of other things I wanted to bring up. And actually, you know what? I'm going to save the really heavy hitter for the end, but... Mass Effect's one of the guys that writes for him, Casey Hudson, announced that they're doing a new IP, a completely new universe, something else. Didn't say what, but he did announce that they're going to be doing something completely different.
That's going to be amazing.
So, I like his writing.
Well, they've already, with their Mass Effect retrospective that they did just the other week, in that video piece, it said, you know, blah, blah, they're talking about the end of Shepard and all that. They even had the guy who does the voice of Shepard saying, you know, it's been fun playing you so long. You know, all that. Like, you know, like they're saying, yes, we're putting Shepard to bed. But then they said, but we are working on a new Mass Effect game that's going to follow. And they said, you know, and one thing I really love about BioWare's Mass Effect division is they said that when we decided to do this, we went out to the community and we said, what do you want to see in Mass Effect?
See, that's cool.
Do you want to see prequel? Do you want to see future? Do you want to see in between? Do you, you know, and I would love to go back to the Turian Wars and actually see First Contact when Anderson was... one of the main people, because he was part of the entire Turian battles against the Turians when they first made contact. It would be awesome to see that, because it was a huge war that, you know, so actually it didn't last a whole long time. I think it was like maybe 4 days. But it was awesome, you know? Yeah. Just 4 days of battle, and then boom, peace.
That's hilarious.
That would be a game. That would be a game.
So,
or the Elusive Man. I've always said, do the Elusive Man story, because he didn't always sit in that room. He actually had a very... exciting lifestyle.
Well, I'm glad to see the trilogy close.
Yes.
But I want to see something else that they can do.
I would like to see more. I would like to see backstory for certain people, including the Elusive Man, because he had so much backstory in the novel stuff. I would, in the comics as well, I would like to see him brought up and turned into something that's...
I
understand him.
That's fine, but I do want to see BioWare branch out from something that they know take a risk and see what they can come up with.
Well, no, I'm fine with that new IP. It's just I would like to see something new with Mass Effect that kind of delves deeper in, because, you know, I'd like to understand certain people's agendas. Like the Elusive Man, his agenda was always kind of back and forth. You're like, is he for humans, against humans, for the Reapers, against it? He really could, and even in the end, he was just a puppet. So you're just like, what the fuck's going on? Explain
that. I think he just got corrupted.
I know, but explain that lead up into Cerberus, and then from Cerberus into where Cerberus went. So it'd be interesting. Anyways,
one of the smaller titles I wanted to bring up, and this will hit true to home for both me and you, Trent. Did you ever play Stubbs the Zombie?
Yes.
Stubbs the Zombie Earl?
I don't believe I did, no.
Stubbs the Zombie was really cool. Well, no, the creators of that are made a new game called Raise the Dead.
Nice.
Spelled Ray, like the name Ray, R-A-Y.
Yeah, of course.
Raise the Dead. And what it is it's kind of like it's a little bit more cartoony than Stubbs the Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And where it takes a big look on group mechanics.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to build a zombie army to take over. So nice. A lot of what they describe it as is being kind of like the quarterback. You're giving orders, but at the same time you have some direct involvement. For the most part, you're kind of building up this zombie horde to take over different things.
Nice.
So it looks like a pretty interesting game. It was definitely on the indie, but I really like Stubbs the Zombie. I'd like to see where those creators take it.
Yeah, they had a good sense of humor. For those of you who've seen Fido, but you've never played Stubbs the Zombie, that's kind of like Stubbs the Zombie, but it's a
like,
very futuristic city.
Like
that
Buck
has,
Rogers.
Yeah, it's a very,
Rogers,
it's a very
no zombies.
It's a very futuristic city that still has that 50s feel because they're isolated and cut off, and that's just the way it is. And Stubbs the Zombie is just fucking hilarious, and you could rip your hand off and throw it out there and go, and yeah, it's just, it was funny as hell. Great game.
Trent, did you have anything news-wise?
I did, but I completely forgot. It's nothing that... Oh, no, yeah, I saw the new Oddworld.
Yes.
Reskinned, actually, I should say that. Basically, I mentioned some time ago last year about how Just Add Water HBO was taking Oddworld and trying to bring it into the new, you know, vision of gaming. And what they did, and I said they were going to do this, is they were going to make an HD version of Oddworld, the original game, and redo it and make it 3D rendered, nice textures. And I finally got to see some of the gameplay, and it actually looks fantastic. They even changed it a little bit,
really,
to where it's a lot more. Even though it's still a side scroller, the actual side scrolling bends a little bit to kind of move it to give it a little bit more depth. So you'll be walking along, and the railing and everything will turn just a little bit to the. It will dip inward to give you some perspective as you're moving along. The game mechanics look pretty much the same. You're leading Madokans to freedom.
Nice.
And, just looks pretty badass.
I spent a lot of time on Oddworld.
I love Oddworld.
Oh, my God.
That was
a
my
good
introduction.
Game.
That was one of my early introductions to rude humor on console. Mm-hmm. PC is one thing, but console, that was, you know, farting and slapping.
I was going to say, the whole farting thing was hilarious.
Yeah, and they laugh. They're like, like,
there's always a good fart joke.
Yeah.
Fart jokes are always good.
Yeah.
Bringing up some larger news, I was going to say there's a new Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer out right now using the Fox engine. The Fox engine is kind of like a hyper-realistic looking engine.
Yep.
And I went through and did some comparisons of different things, and there's actually a couple of websites that are showing comparisons of things in the office that they use the engine for
mm-hmm.
versus the real picture, and you almost can't tell the difference.
Well, that's cool, though.
Nice.
Looking at the facial animations and things like that and looking how the game looks, it's still a little bit shiny, so you can still tell it's computer animated, but it looks really good. It looks really next-gen.
Nice.
So Kojima is definitely taking it to a new level with graphics. Hopefully the gameplay itself is good. But, yeah, if you guys haven't checked it out, look at the Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer. It looks really cool. Earl, did you have anything?
Man, I just a couple things. I got... Well, one big thing I was disturbed about was... All right, so I'm 34. I know you're what, like 33 or something.
I'm now
like that.
34.
You're 34
right now.
Okay, and you're in
happy
your
birthday.
Happy yeah. birthday! And you're in your late 20s.
No, I'll be 31.
Okay, you'll be 31. Okay, so here's the thing. So at PAC East, they revealed DuckTales, and my problem is this: I grew up with DuckTales. With Scrooge McDuck and Huey, Dewey, and Louie, the superhero. But anyways, but that was during the time of like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and Tailspin and stuff like that. You can't catch any of these cartoons anymore. And when they released it, you know, it's not like they were like, we took it, scrapped it, made it. But no, all they did is they just made the graphics better. They said they left the music the same, the game story the same. It was not that great of a game. I played that game. I played like Captain Planet, any of the comic, the cartoons that I liked, I played when I was young. Because I was like that kind of gamer back then. All those. But here's the thing. Half the gamers nowadays are like 12. They have no idea what DuckTales is, and if you leave the gameplay the same, you're gonna get bored of it in like 20
they need
minutes.
To reach
the only thing is that people our age are kind of past that level of gaming.
Exactly. I'm not gonna play it. I mean,
the only people that it's gonna be relevant to are people that are in the 30s. Because we're the ones that saw that stuff growing up.
But let me tell you, I played the game. It is not that great of a game. Yeah. But anyways, I just don't know why you would do that. I mean,
I remember playing it. The music annoying the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of songs on there were just
you kind of like exactly. You kind of like remaking that side scroller Spider-Man game that was on NES.
Oh yeah,
that game was
or the one that was on Sega CD, which was fun. I actually enjoyed that.
Maximum
you had to find,
Carnage
like,
was
Loki
cool.
And which one?
Maximum Carnage.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, the best one, Shattered Dimensions.
Shattered Dimensions.
Best side scroller was Maximum Carnage.
Yeah, side scroller. Yeah, right. But no, Shattered Dimensions, best Spider-Man game of all fucking time. Top that, top it, and I will fucking kiss your ass. You didn't do it. With what was it, Web of Destiny or whatever?
Yeah.
That fucking thing sucked. Shared, did you ever play Shared Inventions?
No, I don't believe
that game is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the one that wasn't the one you were talking about the other night that broke the
fourth wall?
Yeah, is that the one?
Oh, they kind of did.
Oh, okay.
There. But it was just, it was different Spider-Mans, like Spider-Man Beyond, Spider-Man Noir, Amazing Spider-Man, regular Spider-Man. You got to play as all four.
Really?
And Spider-Man Noir was just amazing, dude. The whole hiding in the shadows. It's all black and white film grain.
Well, that's cool, man.
Amazing game. So.
It's a really
all the Noir ones, it seems like. What was it like? The L.A. Noir? That was a great game.
That was a great game. They did a really good job on that.
Most of the Noir ones they put out are really good.
Yeah.
And then I'm just saying, listen, if you're going to go to a convention like PAC East or Gen Con or E3, and you're gonna say you're a journalist, don't be dumb. Don't be like they did at PAX East, where you have the Lara Croft cosplay, and you're gonna go off and ask stupid questions. Like, oh, it was horrible. They had harassment. Read about it. It's stupid. Why? If you're going to be a journalist,
no, or did they just?
I have the story.
What exactly did he ask?
Oh my gosh!
Did he ask her how long it took to fit her tits?
No, nothing like that. Hold on, I have it pulled up on my phone. I got to reload it.
Why don't you check on that? I'll bring up something else.
You bring something up.
So a lot of people like Beautiful Joe a long time ago.
That was a great game, by the way.
There's a new game coming out for Wii U called The Wonderful 101. Mm-hmm. That looks a lot like Beautiful Joe. That was the game that I was showing you earlier.
Okay, yeah, that did look like
Beautiful Joe. It has the same kind of art style of Beautiful Joe.
I gotcha.
So that's something to look forward to. There's also Pikmin 3 that's coming out that's going to be kind of a party game. Pikmin,
yes. That's a good franchise right there.
Yeah, that is a multi... people buy the shit out of Pikmin.
Yeah, I will buy Pikmin 3.
Yeah.
It looks cool as shit. It's very... kind of has that old school feel to it, but it looked really cool. It looked really good, too. But the only other thing I have is going to be kind of big. So, Earl, I'm going to leave you to your pack story.
All right. So, basically, this is off of a website called themarysue.com. And it says, when professionals aren't the PAX East Tomb Raider cosplay harassment story. And if you can see from the girls, they're quite attractive.
Let me see.
Yeah, right there. They're quite attractive.
Yeah, he's under that type of
But anyway, I know. Yeah. But so they do the beginning where it says, like, convention harassment is just an offshoot of regular old harassment, but seeing it invading your safe place, in quotations, can be hard to stomach. So they're saying a journalist, which they use the term loosely, decided to interview the group of cosplayers at the new Tomb Raider video booth. On the day it occurred, Megan Mary, community and communicator at Crystal Dynamics, tweeted, had a member of the press use the cosplay as consent argument on me after asking a sexual question on film to a group of cosplayers. It caught their attention. They spoke with someone named Lauren Wiseman, one of the cosplayers involved in the incident. She was a frequent cosplayer and convention attendee. She said, at other conventions, I have done more revealing costumes like Rogue, Emma Frost, Huntress, and Wonder Woman, and I always had, like, the Tomb Raider game with the comics and the movies. She had played the demo at SDCC the past summer and was just blown away by the graphics and just how incredible it looks. So she decided on Friday to wear khakis, a gray tank top, the official Tomb Raider necklace. So at the panel, she was Marie encouraged Wiseman to don the costume again, and so she did. She was joined by several other women, making the group of 15 to 31 year olds. The other Lauras all wore khaki combat boots, gray tanks, and a bow, and did some blood makeup. She was being interviewed in the past and said everything seemed normal. That is, until the interviewer asked this first question. How does it feel to be at a convention where none of the men could please you? That was the question. So, in her post on Tumblr, Marie wrote, I couldn't hear what he said over the hubbub. They actually said the word hubbub. On the show floor, but the confused and uncomfortable looks from the tables indicated that it wasn't what they expected, to say the least. So they moved in, inquired, excuse me, what did you say? With a forced smile on her face, she couldn't believe. So she gave him the benefit of the doubt. He laughed and didn't respond, moving a few steps away as I repeated the question to the group of women. Turned out he probed what it felt like, knowing that no man in the room could please her in bed. Yes, I'm aware it's a poor adaptation of a gag told by a certain puppet dog with an affinity to insults. Lack of originality didn't excuse his behavior. Yeah. And it just goes on about how he used it loosely. So here's my thing. If you're going to say you're a journalist...
That's when you're the insult dog.
Yeah. So if you're going to be a journalist, man, have some class. Don't ask a bunch of girls that, you know, could you not please anybody in bed? Because here's the thing. They're just going to laugh at you, and you're going to give everybody a bad name. So that's my rant. I don't understand. And it makes other people who are trying to do their job, I mean, worse, because now they're all going to be on the alert. What is he going to say? So, don't be stupid. Don't be the 35-year-old virgin in your mama's basement doing God knows what to pictures of Laura Croft and then think you are witty by trying to quote somebody. And that's all I have to say.
That's pretty fucked up.
I don't. And if we're like you guys, like I say, when you guys do the press passes and you go to do it, if something like that happens, they've been like, well, I don't know about the tilt cast. Let's not let them interview. You know what I mean? So makes everything
had
worse.
Had I been there and I heard him say it, I think I probably would have interjected with, like, hey, dude, leave your own personal problems.
Listen, just because you can't get a woman. Yeah.
So like, don't drag. What's this? Well, yeah, don't drag us all into your own fucking personal
hell. Exactly.
So I'm pretty confident that I could please Laura number 5 right there. Not because she's Asian and she's tight, but just because.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, just come in as a hero and exit as the guy grosser than the dude that had so
much. He's a he. Oh, no, he's not. Oh, the stranger danger.
That armor's a little tarnished.
So I'm going to go ahead and bring up my last bit of news here, and then we'll move on to emails and then get the heck out of here.
Yay. Boo, no, not a get out of here. No.
So one of the things that I made you guys watch, or I made at least Earl watch with me, is just watching some footage from Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, it's amazing.
So the previews here, the biggest problem I have with MMOs is MMO combat. That's ultimately one of the things that killed it for me in Old Republic. I thought the storyline was pretty decent. Mm-hmm. But I don't like auto-target and then click, click, click to do my combat.
Yeah.
I don't want to just, all right, I'm doing this ability, then I'm doing this ability, then I'm doing this ability, and it's just a big numbers game. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I got turned off with WoW, because that's kind of the whole thing you're doing there, too. It gets really old after a while.
Yeah.
Every MMO kind of using that same form that gets really old after a while.
Well, there was the one that came out. What was the one?
Terra.
So it kind of looked like they were using that interface a little bit.
Well, the thing that I noticed is different about this, aside from it actually looking like Skyrim on 360,
exactly.
Not quite like PC, but it does for an MMO, that's the best looking MMO I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're just using the same combat used in Skyrim. It's like, all right, so you got your two hands, and this is how you're going to do it. And you're going to swing your sword or whatever. You're going to do things, so the combat and the movement and the game itself plays out like an Elder Scrolls game.
Exactly.
It's not, I got all these abilities, I'm going to auto-target and start hitting things. It looked like they were using, you know, just actual combat. It just looked like they took Skyrim, that whole world, just said, we're going to do the exact same thing, but we're going to add more people to it.
They said, this is what brought us to the dance and it was successful. Let's just go ahead and keep doing that. Don't try to fix what ain't broke.
So that part is really cool. The other part that was really cool is using the mega server idea.
They mentioned
the whole thing that, hey, instead of sharding all of these off, we're just going to create one big-ass server and you and your friends get to play on it.
And see, that reminded me. Here's the thing. Anybody that plays MMOs, because the way they presented it was, oh, you're trying to find your friends and you're on this server. Okay, look, if you're a total noob, you don't call your friends first. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, I'm just going to jump on this server and hope that they're here. No, you find out what server your friends are on and then you go on that. But
yeah, but everybody joins at a different time. Like,
now, that's
true. I
play Old
Republic and I've tried to find Dave's server and I tried to find Chuck's server.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up, everybody was on a different server.
That is true, though.
So, oh, but anyways.
I'm sorry, that's my bad.
No, I was talking to him.
I may be a little bit too much. That's all me. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, so, but anyways, long story short, it looks like it's everything it's promising to be so far.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait till it gets closer to launch. Maybe one of us will get a beta invite and we'll get to play.
That'd be nice.
And we'll be able to tell you a little bit more. But so far, it looks pretty cool. Look for more stuff online.
True.
Last but not least, I want to go ahead and bring up emails. We got one, and we have a quick question that ties into things we just talked about. So we have an email from Ian who says, to the Nasty One, the Trent Show, the Holly Badger, and the Rookie. Everybody, with DuckTales being remastered, what other games would you like to see get the same treatment? I'd love to see The Secret of Mana.
The same treatment?
I'd like to see enhanced treatment. I don't want to see anything. We talked a little bit about remakes. Earlier in the show, we stated Final Fantasy VII.
To get a full remaster job? Yeah, where they redo everything, yeah. But, I mean, keep the same story, keep the same
mechanics.
I'm going to
say Fallout 1 too, but then I'm going to be playing Wasteland later this year, so that's basically the same thing, just new game.
I would say a game I would like to see redone and expanded on is a game that came out for Sega CD and PC way back in the day.
Super Sharp?
No, not Super Sharp. It's called Rise of the Dragon. And
was it about Bruce Lee or...?
No. It was I talked about this before. It was a cyber noir, like cyberpunk noir detective game.
Again, all noirs are good.
Yeah, and this one, it was very Blade Runner. And it was about this drug that, you know, people were taking bad batches of it. It would basically liquefy them. And you were trying to uncover this mystery. And it was just a really cool game because it mixed in this, you know, where you have the basic backdrops and you're clicking around investigating. It went from that to later on in the game, you have a third-person stationary shootout to where you had a side-scroller later on.
It
encompassed all these three different styles of gameplay, which I thought was really cool that they brought all three of these in. It was just called Rise of the Dragon, and there was a lot more that could have been done with the game and expanded on. And I felt, now looking back on it now, back then I was just, oh, this is so cool. But nowadays I think they could have done more. The other one would be Blade Runner.
I was about to say that. If they would do that, like L.A. Noire?
Yeah. Westwood's version of Blade Runner, which I have right over there on PC, is one of my favorite games because it was just, I love Blade Runner. It was very true to the game. Sorry, it was very true to the story and to the movie. And it actually coincides with the movie. Nice. You know, and very well done. But to see them redo Blade Runner in a very L.A. Noir rock star type way would be amazing. To have that, you know, the whole city and everything and the Striders and everything. It would just be really awesome to see that stuff. So, and give it a nice proper treatment.
Well, here's mine. If you go by what the emo said, if you treat it like DuckTales did, that I just talked about and went off on, I would say, because we were talking about it a second ago, Parasite Eve, the first one, you could leave, because like I said, with DuckTales, they just left everything the same, they just made the graphics better. So leave everything the same, but just make the graphics more next-gen.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Well, we were talking about this before the show, and I said, you know, I've talked about this before on the show, where I wish Westwood Games, who did Doom 2000 and Blade Runner and all that, would do a back catalog release onto current PC where Steam would carry the games. Because I would love, I love Doom 2000. I have a CD copy of it, but it's kind of old. I would like to get an actual digital copy that's not torrented, because you can get it for free online right now. But I would actually pay for a very stable version of the game, or at least see a new one come out. The strategy, you know, build up your refinery stuff Doom game, which is just, you know, Doom 2000, a really fucking great game. But, Westwood would need to re-release their back catalog, but having Squaresoft actually release their back catalog of crap, where you have Parasite Eve comes along. I think that, if I remember, that was Squaresoft,
Yeah, it was. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. And having them do that, it would be nice.
Yeah.
So
that would be my game I'd want to see.
Yeah. There's a couple other developers that should do back catalogs, but that'd be a long list, you know. So I just wish they'd stop doing these Dreamcast back catalog ones, because the last one they put out had, like, one good game out of six.
Yeah.
Who really wants to play the Dreamcast version of Bass Hunter?
Yeah, or Crazy Taxi without the license
music. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just like, what the fuck? I mean, seriously, they had Bass Hunter Pro on there when they could have put Slave Zero out, or Record of Lotus War, or Omicron, even. David Bowie's video game, come on.
I will say this. Do another Ogre Battle game.
Yeah, another.
The Ogre Battle game that's on PSP is really good. Give me another Ogre Battle game. I'm cool with that.
Why are you giving me a trash?
It comes off the cigarettes.
Okay. But yeah, doing all that stuff, it'd be nice to see. Because there's a lot of classic, like even Conker's Bad Fur Day, do a redo of that. You know, it'd be great. It'd be like, you know, Angry Bear.
Just better.
Just way better.
That's hilarious.
So that, we don't really have a question again this week, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you fans some time to decide. We're releasing this on Saturday, which is when you'll be listening to it, or that following week.
It will be Saturday later in the afternoon, because tomorrow's my birthday, so I'm not going to produce it then.
Right, it'll be Saturday sometime.
Yeah, I'll produce it Saturday afternoon when I wake up from my hangover and get it done.
So, yeah, late Saturday we'll be posting it. We're going to actually take a week to let you guys decide. Also, let us restructure some things. And we're going to convene the following week. So in the episode title, I'll have all the dates and everything like that for you guys. But it'll be the following week after next week that we have everything ready to go.
Yeah.
With the restructure of the site. With that, though, I'm going to say there's a few games coming out that you guys should check out, or we'll talk about. This week, of course, we had Bioshock. We had Army of Two. We didn't really want to play that. Not that it was going to be really that bad, but I didn't really see it being that great.
I was more interested in Bioshock.
Defiance comes out next week. I may or may not be picking that up.
I'm excited for the TV show.
I do want to see the TV show, and that's why I'm really interested in it. The following week, there's not a whole lot coming out that I'm interested in, but the week after that, which is good because, hey, there's not going to be anything for me to worry about talking about. But the following week, there's Injustice. There's also Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner Soul Hackers for 3DS. There is... And that's it. But that's still a big title.
That's like one of the only reasons I pick up the 3DS and the Tensei games. Just, yeah, they always put them out on those.
So, the following week after that, though, you have Dead Island Riptide. You have the new big-ass expansion for Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen. And Don't Starve is officially being released. And, yeah, Lego City Undercover, as Earl points it out. and the Star Trek game, which I'm cautiously going to maybe try.
Movie but looks great. I just don't know about the game.
With there being 1, 2, 3, 4 titles coming out on the 21st, we may have to break that up into a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of titles, and I don't know if I'm going to have $240 drop. But between all of us, maybe we can pick titles. I can pick up Dragon's Dogma. Trent can pick up Riptide.
Yeah, I'm definitely probably picking it up.
And then somehow maybe one of us will pick up Lego and Star Trek. We'll see what happens.
True.
I might pick up Lego.
That's all you, man.
I've heard the new Lego one that just was released.
Oh, wait, that's not the one. Oh, the one. That's the one that I want
to watch. Yeah, Daniel at work picked it up. Him and his son love it. They said it's a lot. It's like Grand Theft Auto.
But Legos?
Legos, and it's more adult than they thought it would be.
Huh. That's cool.
He says two thumbs up, though.
Two thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Daniel IT?
No, Daniel in my department.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Harris?
Yeah. Yeah.
He enjoyed it. Yep. Him and his son play it, so.
Yeah, I forgot. Daniel plays a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyways, don't forget to check us out on our website at tiltcast.com, which me and Trent are working on.
Yeah, it's the new one, yeah.
I don't want to give a date on it because it's a very ambitious project.
It's a big upgrade to the website I'm working on.
But we've been doing this for 3 years. There's just a lot of content to move. We want to make sure it works. We don't want to fuck up our feed.
It looks good, though. It's looking good. So people who are concerned.
No, it'll look good. Yeah. He's even working on a mobile version for the site.
Yeah, so we'll be mobile compliant and
ready to go.
So
that's why I do for a living, man.
So there is a...
If you fail, people aren't going to trust you ever again.
Yeah, that's true.
Trust, we talk about that a lot at work.
Well, we can throw out a couple cool key features I've already built in.
Yeah.
Just for people out there. There's a new cataloging system to where... When you go to podcasts, it now has a drop-down menu that's going to be on the new site that breaks it down to season 1, 2, and 3. And it also tells you underneath that the dates that season ran. So that's if you're looking for a particular game to be talked about, say you want to hear about Resident Evil 6 and you know the release date for it, you'll know what season it's underneath. And then you'll be able to search within the tags as well, even before, not even circumvent that and just search for the tags, you'll find it. But this is a way to kind of help, you know, organized.
Well, really,
and
if you want to look for any game, the way that we've got our site categorized, I tag all the major things we talk about in the podcast by title. So, like, if you're looking, don't look up Dark Souls. You'll find several episodes.
Yeah. Listen, always look up Dark Souls.
But that being said, I mean, Dark Souls, that's like 18 episodes at least.
Yeah, our tagging system will be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more efficient in the end, and it's going to help us divvy up the season's a lot better. That's my main focus, because divvying out the titles is one thing, but you'll be able to type in if you know that the game came out in, say, season 2.
Yeah.
You can type in season 2, Dark Souls, and you'll find the episode where we talked about Dark Souls initial. Darkthold. You'll be able to find the initial podcast a lot easier that way, instead of having to dig through every episode that titles Dark Souls.
We've been talking about it for a year.
Customer-friendly.
Yeah, basically it's very user interface friendly, so it's very
nice. But don't forget to find us on the magical world of the internet on iTunes. Search for Tiltcast, rate us and review us. Find us on Stitcher, rate us and review us. We're actually up on the podcasts.
Nice.
So out of like almost 900 video game podcasts, I think we're in the top 200, I think.
I don't want to say it was due to me, but I go in and hit thumbs up on Stitcher all the time on all the podcasts.
I appreciate that.
It could be me. I don't know,
but I'm gonna say it is. Hey, give us a thumbs up, like Earl.
Hey, as you ought to. It's a great, great podcast, and I hope you guys like me.
So that being said, also don't forget to find us on Facebook.com/Tiltcast, where we post more things, and also find us on the Twitters at Twitter.com/Tiltcast, where mostly we post episodes, but sometimes we'll post other things.
Yeah.
So that. We will leave you and hope you have fun listening to this in your ear holes.
Loved it.
So.
And I've been 34 for an hour. I need to go to bed.
So,
high five.
We will catch you guys later.
That was a soft, clammy high five.
It was.
Yeah, actually, you're like cupping your crotch with that.
No, I just put my hand down. That's all it was.
He just had to find a place to put his
hand. I did. I had to.
So with that, we're going to close the episode and we will see you guys later.